using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it is the 29th of November, 2021, day 623 of the world held hostage. This is Tony Arterburn filling in for the great David Knight. Got a great week of shows lined up for you. We're going to have Donald Jeffries on the program today, followed by my co-host of the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show, Kinsey. Great researcher on crypto, gold and silver, the economy. We're going to talk about the Black Friday that wasn't. Glad to be here. This is a lot of fun. Well, normally I introduce myself. I talk about my radio show, and I'll tell you that I'm in studio with my dog, Beans the Brave. She's a 13-pound or so Chihuahua mix that we adopted while we lived in San Antonio, and she's adapted to the Ozark Mountains, and I'm really proud of her. She got up with me early this morning. I still don't have all the kinks worked out. I worked on this yesterday and today, folks, so it's not for lack of trying. We didn't get out on every platform that I wanted to get out on, and I will apologize to Travis and David, but we'll get it worked out, and of course, this will hit the podcast. Lots of stuff going on. You know, as always, we're going to talk about the new scariant, the Omicron variant, which is interesting. And I have a message from David here, and I'll play in just a minute. I was on America Unplugged with Don Jeffries and Billy Ray Valentine. It's a show that I do over on rockfin.com every Saturday. And I said, Omicron, that sounds like a transformer. And about 12 hours later, Billy Ray Valentine sent me, he runs a show called The Infinite Fringe. He sent me a screenshot of the Omicron. I'll try to pull it up, the Omicron Transformer. So I was right. And it is kind of a transformer. They transform the narrative in any way they can, right? They want to take away your will to live, your hope, your dreams. This is a fear injection, right? This is a pandemic of fear, a scamdemic of fear, right? So this is something that I brought up, and we'll do some research later in the week, but I wanted to ask the audience, does anyone remember the Mu variant, right? This is the MU. I did a show and I said that the MU variant, the Mu variant, stands for made up. And of course, that was the headlines. If you go back and, you know, get in the Wayback Machine, go back to Drudge, it was the headline. It was the scariant of choice at the time, right? It was the fear-mongering of choice. The PSYOP that was very strong that day, they wanted to scare you from the Mu variant. Well, can anybody remember it, right? It's like a one-hit wonder. They've kept Delta, right? And they rolled out all these other ones. But let's talk about, this is funny, the new variant, right? It was supposed to be in you, which was the 13th letter, I believe, in the Greek alphabet. And that's, you know, MU was the 12th. And they didn't want it to be named in you. They didn't want it to be just new, right? They might confuse people. And of course, the next letter, right, was Z. And according to the World Health Organization, they didn't want to choose Z because it might be confused with surnames. Well, whose surname would that be confused with, right? This is the comedy, right? When you get to this level, obviously protecting Winnie the Pooh there in China. And I thought of a compromise. All right, this is just me. I want to compromise. I want to help people out, especially those the automatons, the meat puppets at the World Health Organization. Why don't we just put a FAO in front of it, right? Just in parentheses, like kind of an asterisk, we'll put a Fauci. Can we do that? Can we do a Fauci? That, I think that would work well, don't you think? I think people would get it, because that's how you get these chimeric viruses. That's how you get this gain of function Nazi science, this Operation Paperclip writ large, right? That's how you get this. It's a Fauci. It's not just a chi, right? The right loves to harp on that. You'll see a lot of the folks like Tom Cotton, who's right on a lot of stuff, and he'll come out and then he'll blame everything on China. Yeah, I get it. I'm not a fan of China. China, obviously, you know, David's talked about this, you know, the year the world became China. China's the model, right? But it's our own people, right? Our own overlords, right? The military industrial complex, the surveillance state, right? The dark winter types, right? These are the people that push these chimeric viruses and push this Nazi science along with the NIH. And of course, in the Wuhan labs, let's not mince words, right? Again, but we'll talk about the Omicron strain. And ironic too, another bit of the headlines I thought was interesting. This is supposedly coming out of South Africa. And for those of you who monitor the headlines like I do, if you look at the headlines from just a week ago, maybe 10 days, all over Drudge, all over the other, you know, all the aggregators, was the headline, Africa, you know, not suffering from COVID, small amount of cases, small amount of deaths in comparison to the Western world and the first world. And it said that scientists were baffled, right? The doctors were baffled. They couldn't understand when I said, you know, well, they don't have CNN, right? They're not told that they're in the, you know, they're fighting the deadliest virus in the history of ever. And they don't have the vaccines. They escaped this in large part to being in having poorer countries. They didn't have the central banks, you know, propping up trillions of dollars and through the pharmaceutical companies to give the Western world the jab. So the first world, the Western world, got the jabs, and you have all these massive amounts of cases and whatever, you know, and again, covering up a large part of what the vaccine does with the cover of COVID. Well, Africa didn't have that. So what did they do? Well, folks, they rolled out the Omicron variant. Don't you think that's, don't you find that, are you a coincidence theorist? Don't you find that interesting, right? They rolled out this new variant just in time, just right after those headlines hit. And so are we looking at, are they looking at a operation to get Africa vaccinated? Is this what this is all about? Are they rolling out some sort of Marshall Plan to vaccinate Africa using a variant that they say came from them? And of course, the doctors that look at this, that I guess that discovered it or, you know, started seeing the cases, said it's very, very mild. It's just, you know, it's transmissible, very mild symptoms. But again, you're not going to see that from the mainstream media. I've got an article, too, I want to talk about. This all ties together, by the way. I've learned more over the last 2 years about viruses and disease and than I ever wanted to know. But hey, now we know it, right? Now we've done the hard work. And you start picking up on subtle clues. Now, I've had lots of vaccinations because I was in the military. I wasn't a fan then. I didn't know then what I know now. But, you know, it never was the case in the military that if you got your vaccine but the enemy didn't, that yours wouldn't work. That was never the line of logic was you get it, you're protected, especially on things like the anthrax vaccine. And I got the smallpox vaccine. I got them on the same day and caused a massive reaction in me. I was in good shape, good health, but it, you know, immune response. I actually got pox and I got all kinds of like breakouts and stuff. And I thought, well, I got the, and I could feel the anthrax vaccine when I got it, by the way. I'm not making this up. I could feel it in my heart. And I looked that up later. It's one of the symptoms, one of the side effects. You can actually feel it pump through you. And so I was 23 years old and I was about to go to Iraq and I called the CDC, right? This is what 23-year-old Tony did. I called the CDC and wanted to know what should I expect? I mean, I didn't know then, you know, I thought, well, this is an agency that's going to tell me the truth. Well, they were kind of perplexed. Like, you had a reaction because you got all these vaccines in one day. Yeah, I did. And of course, you fast forward all these years, I've learned a little bit about vaccines, and I've learned a lot about this, the PSYOP surrounding biological warfare and vaccines and track and trace and all the rest. One of the main things coming out of this time frame is we're going to be really good at spotting the next thing. And before I play this audio from David, you guys bear with me. I am my own producer today, by the way. Travis Knight is a magnificent producer, always, always professional, always has the clips lined up. And all I've got here today is I've got my Chihuahua, I've got my Chiweenie, right? I've got Beans the Brave, and I've got myself and two different screens. So if you guys will bear with me, I will get this down by the end of the week. I do host my own show, so it's just a lot more moving parts for David because I want to play clips. We're going to talk about some of the underlying clues to the next level, okay? To what's going to happen, what the elites are projecting, because they're telling you. And I don't know if it's about the revelation of the method. I don't know, right? We can only guess at what their true motives are. But I have an article up from Bill Sardi. It was up over the weekend on lewrockwell.com. And I love Bill Sardi. A lot about holistic healing and natural health. And he has a good mind for conspiracy. And it talks about smallpox. And that's something that I noticed in the headlines. Maybe you did too. That we need to be aware of, because I'm going to play this clip from David. You guys stand by, because this is, and again, I don't have the video, I just have the audio, but I think David is 100% in this message. Stand by. Let me get this on for you guys.
Well, I hope you all had a blessed Thanksgiving. I tell you, as my family and I were thinking this last Thursday, we thought of the support and the kindness that you have shown us this last year. It's been a long year, a difficult year for all of us. We've got some difficult times ahead, but let me tell you, we've got them on the run. And Tony knows that. I'm so blessed to have Tony as a supporter and a friend who stood beside us. And I think you're going to be blessed with his insights. Tony really understands what is going on. And I think we all need to understand that this Omicron alarm that they are sounding right now. Somebody asked me, do you think they're going to unleash something before or after the holidays? I said, I think after the holidays, because I think they want their money. But I tell you, they are so desperate. They're going to forego some of the profits because they know they're going to get it on the back end. But we need to hang tough. We've got them on the run. People are waking up. We understand what this is, and we're not going to be fooled again. And so Tony has got a lot to tell you. I'm so grateful to have Tony Arterman, Wise Wolf Gold, who is going to be standing in for us this week, and we'll be back next Monday. Thank you so much.
And I just wanted to thank David as well. It's a huge honor sitting in, and of course, working with David, being on the show. It's been an amazing journey. And I mean, one of the great honors of my life. And I want to, call attention to the fact that David was let go from his previous employer on the 17th of December of last year. I think he took one day off, and then he went to broadcasting immediately. This is the first real break that he's had. Now, I run a gold and silver shop. I have a part-time radio broadcast. I skipped lots of broadcasts. He powered through, broadcasting by candlelight through being frozen there when the power grid went down because of the wind turbines and the poor planning and the Green New Deal, right, down in Texas. And I thought, I'm broadcasting on a phone. So this is the determination. David Knight is the real deal, the genuine article. So to sit in, I can't fill his shoes, but we have a lot of fun. And I appreciate the fact that he says I have some insight. I do. I've lived an interesting life. I fought in three foreign wars. I was a former Army paratrooper, military policeman. I was in Iraq and Afghanistan. I've got some of those foreign policy creds, but I also, I've been around the block a time or two. My family's been in business. I've started business. I've been humbled by losing. I've been humbled by winning. So again, I bring a different kind of perspective, and I always surround myself with some really smart people, way smarter than me. Like, we're going to have Don Jeffries on in the next hour. And for those of you who don't know, he's the author of Hidden History and Crimes and Cover-Ups in American Politics. And he's got a new book out. I'm going to have him back on Friday. Maybe we'll have a longer broadcast. He's got a new book on borrowed fame. And for those of us who study, the philosophy of wealth in this country, the popular culture and what it's done, how it's eroded, it really ties in with that. Really talks about the pitfalls of fame and what it can do to you, and some of the sad stories that come out of Hollywood and the music business. So we're going to talk to him maybe on, that'll be a good end of the week on Friday, because we're going to do a lot of news. But yeah, I surround myself with really smart people. People like Billy Ray Valentine over on the Infinite Fringe. And one thing that I've noticed that all of us seem to have in common now is we've completely walked away from the Trump train long ago, right? We walked away from the Trump train. We're not buying that. We're not part of the MAGA movement. We're not part of that at all. I used to be heavily. I used to write articles for Trump, and I donated to him. I was one of the first congressional candidates when I ran for Congress in 2013 and 14. I built up a really large social media following. And even though I lost, I still had a pretty good base to people to talk to because I had a radio show at the time. And I was the first one to endorse Trump. So I did all this early, right? But we've seen what has happened. And we've seen Operation Warp Speed, the Friday the 13th executive order declaration. We've seen this. We've seen Stop the Steal, the $250 million that he raised, the abandonment of people on January 6th. You know, this is the Trump legacy now. Who he pardoned is really all you really need to know, you know, at the end of his presidency, besides all the warp speed and loving the Trump juice. So those of us who, and again, I'm not comparing myself to David, but I'm just saying I surround myself with people who took that step because it was very unpopular, and it still is. I mean, I'm of the right. I say this all the time because I try to clarify. Look, I'm a conservative, the old style, right? You know, skeptical of foreign wars. I want people to have a living wage job. I want a border, not a new world order. You know, I don't like the deep state, the surveillance state of the military industrial complex. I'm an old school paleo conservative. And I think you get lumped in now with, I mean, the neocons have done a magnificent job at propaganda, taking away the label conservative. So yeah, I'm a member of the John Birch Society. I'm pro-life. I'm all these things, right? But if you go on Twitter or if you go on any of these platforms and you start talking about the disaster that is Trump and the controlled opposition that surrounds him, and that he is a pacifier, like David says, he's absolutely a pacifier. Kind of like Youngkin, right, out in Virginia. This was just the Hegelian dialectic at work. I mean, we'll show you this really rabid leftist who says that parents shouldn't have a say. And then we'll show you this kind of milquetoast sellout mannequin who is not quite as bad. And then you feel like you won, right? But really, you just got closer to the ultimate goal of totalitarian top-down control. So again, it was very unpopular, right, to walk away from Trump and not talk about that. And I think it will be, again, for a while. And you can see who the real deal is, right? Because there's money there. I mean, think of all the things that you miss if you're not on that train. And he will be back, and more things like that. But I think we've learned a lot from the left-right paradigm, the falsities of that over the last year. I mean, I'm much more aware of it now than I ever have been. I mean, again, of the right, I want a country, you know, I want a rule of law. I want to protect the life of the unborn. I'm a conservative, okay? But I think what we found is that the left-right paradigm is alive and well. They use that to divide us. They use that to control us. And, you know, we talk about what do we have in common between the left and the right? Well, if you listen to that video that David played on his show on Wednesday about with Ryan Long, you know, he talks about the being for Pfizer. He doesn't like Big Pharma, but he loves Pfizer, right? And I wanted to bring that up because that is the common link between the left and right now. the left will suck up and will do whatever the corporations tell them to if it falls within the woke political narrative. And the corporations know this, right? They cater to them. There is no major corporation that I'm aware of or billionaire that is of the right. Not one single billionaire, not one figure that I know of that is of the right. And these are corporations across the board, multinationals who are tied to holding companies owned by larger banks. I mean, we know how this works. Jim Mars did a great job in Trillion Dollar Conspiracy showing how all of this works. You know, who owns what? And, you know, most of the companies that control the supply chains and the multinationals are owned by just a few holding companies owned by larger banks. But you look at that, right? And we see the similarities are striking, because the left will bow down to the corporations, but so will the right. You go to Reason Magazine and they will, kowtow, they will toe the line for corporations. Corporations ought to have the right to do basically whatever they want because they're not the government. But they fail to, and this, I think, some kind of mental block with a lot of the libertarians. And I find myself in a huge libertarian streak sometimes, but they have a blind spot to that. And I think if we could unite on one thing, what could bring us together, especially when you see articles, you know, that I think people are starting to wake up to, because it's no longer like, what are the Democrats going to do? Or how can we defeat the Democrats? I'm seeing more, how can we defeat Davos? Right? So these are the things that we have in common, right? And I'm going to talk about that all through the week, that it's the people versus the plutocrats, folks. Don't you see, when they roll out these new narratives, what are the end goals? Cui bono? You know, and just like in his video, that the audio clip that Travis sent me yesterday of David, he was talking about, you know, what we how we have him on the run, and that the fact that the corporations, you know, they wanted their profit, and he thought maybe they would wait till after the holidays for them to release some new, you know, whatever the new op was. But again, they're desperate. They'll sacrifice profit for this. So it's not really about profit anymore for the corporations and the people that control them. This is a great reset. You know, you're not going to be able to escape the great reset unless you understand what it is, unless you understand where it's coming from. It's not really a left-right issue. It's an issue about the people versus the plutocrats. This is all over the planet. It's planetary, you know, and I think really the genius of this, of what the movement that David's created and getting people to be aware, is that on the local level, you can push back on this and win. I've seen it. My shop is here in Branson, Missouri. I moved up here from San Antonio because, well, I'll talk about this later in the week. I had this like weird feeling that I needed to, you know, get out of a major city in Texas. I had 20 acres here at the time, and I decided to get out at the end of 2019. And I think we left in January of 2020, and it's been a wild ride, because right after we got here, you know, it locked down. And I stayed open, right? I stayed open, but it was locked down. And of course, the mask mandates, but the people that pushed that, the politicians that were here in local government, lost their seats. So on the local level, they were punished for that. And even though people went to the council meetings, they told them, like the people told them, we do not want this, but they still did it anyway, and they lost their jobs. Now, so on a local level, now there's no mask mandate, right? The council doesn't talk about vaccine. There's nothing like that, not like the first year. So there's been progress, right? There's been a movement here to say, just let us go back to the way we were, and that's what we want, be left alone, right? We don't want you dictating our health. And I thought it was great, because I heard the mayor here about 4 months ago say, if you have diabetes, you don't go to your city councilman and ask him, you know, what you should do and how to treat it, right? You go to your doctor. We're not your doctors. And I thought that's the best answer. Just stay out of this. But again, the worldwide plan to lock you down, right, isn't a political thing, right? Not necessarily. It's coming from planners, right? You're being farmed. That's what the global elite, the people that want you, like Klaus Schwab, who wants you to get in your pod and eat bugs, you know, in the New World Order and be in a, you know, a Google smart city to be tracked and traced. Maybe they'll use some of Greg Abbott's money that he gave to that firm out in Frisco to track and trace you. They want to take away your humanity, take away your special, you know, the specialness that you have, the, your God-given rights. That's what they want to take away. This is what this is about. It's not about political domination by a certain party, right? They're both used for it, you know, but again, if when we realize that, when we change our paradigm, I think we make a lot of strides towards breaking free of these chains, because they're forging the chains every day, right? The fear, nothing is worse. And I've said before, you know, nothing's worse than the illusion of safety, right? We live in an age with an illusion of safety, and safety becomes almost like a deity. If you notice that, I honestly get mad at myself when I use the word now. I thought maybe we should strike it from our lexicon and not even have the word safe anymore, because it seems to me a word of control. You know, one of my favorite quotes, and I say it often, was from General Douglas MacArthur. And he said that there is no safety on this earth. There's only opportunity. Well, we have an opportunity, folks, to understand this information, right? To understand that we're being farmed, that we're, you know, we're in the middle of the greatest psychological operation of all time. You know, we have the ability to see through their lies because of great broadcasters like David Knight and great researchers. And this is our gift, right? I'm going to talk about an article here from Bill Sardi. Oh, the hour's flying by. We're going to have Don Jeffries on very, very soon. Let's get some headlines, too. This is going to be fun. I'm going to talk to Kenzie of Fringe Files here in the third hour. But let's do, before I hit Bill Sardi, we'll do one more story here, and then we'll jump in. We'll do a break, we'll do a commercial break, and then we'll bring on Don Jeffries. All right, this is on Zero Hedge. I thought this was fun. Hillary Clinton says Americans just don't appreciate what Joe has done for them. This is from the 21st Century Wire.com. This might be the longest ever Thanksgiving weekend for Joe Biden. While he's been enjoying a warm blanket and a hot cup of Ovaltine with his family in Nantucket, the president's poll numbers have been in virtual freefall. It seems that the nation is fast losing confidence in his ability to handle important issues like the economy, the border, foreign policy, and crime running wild on America's streets. In short, the majority of Americans, both Democrat and Republican, do not believe Joe is capable of fulfilling his duties as the chief executive of the world's premier superpower. It says, at present, Biden's average job approval rating stands at around 40%, a steep drop from the 55% average approval rating he enjoyed last May. No one really knows just how low Joe will go. Still, he hasn't stopped his ardent allies from rushing to his defense and blaming his flagging numbers on social media trolls, also known as deplorables. Former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton tried to explain away President Joe Biden's poor polling by accusing Americans of not appreciating what Biden has done for them and blame social media. I thought this is funny. Have you seen the campaign? And this is great. I love this kind of guerrilla marketing and politicizing things. When you get to the gas pump and it has the Joe Biden figure pointing and says, I did that, you know, to the price. That's just brilliant, right? This is great. And this is what we really appreciate what you have done. Yeah. Clinton made the comments while a guest on Rachel Maddow's MSNBC show Tuesday evening. She says, you know, democracy is messy. Yeah, it kind of is messy, don't you think? It always ends in bloodshed. What was it Hamilton said? I think it was Alexander Hamilton. It says, democracies are as short in their lifespan as they are violent in their deaths. That's why we're not a democracy. You know, democracy's messy. A lot of people got, I think, kind of frustrated looking at the messy process of legislation, said Clinton. I don't know if people are frustrated with the messy process of legislation, other than the fact that it's run by corrupt, degenerate, psychopathic, narcissist, you know, people that, I mean, otherwise, you know, you would not let them manage anything for you, watch your child, especially not your child if they're in Washington, right? No, it's not messy. It's broken beyond all repair. As I say often to my audience, if the Tower of Babel's falling over, yeah, get out of the way. Don't try to rush and prop it up. I'm going to keep reading. I'm quoting Hillary Clinton. I don't know if this is good for my health, but we'll try it. We got to read the news story. And they didn't really appreciate that. Within a year, the Biden administration has passed two major pieces of legislation through both House and the Senate. They passed another major piece through the House that will soon be in the Senate. I'm guessing that is the Build Back Better. By any measure, these extraordinary accomplishments, and they will really help many millions of Americans with health care and prescription drug prices, as well as climate change and so much else, said Clinton. But because of the way we are getting our information today, she concluded, and because of the lack of gatekeepers, and people who have historic perspective, like the host of MSNBC. didn't Alger Hiss work there? This is, okay, lack of gatekeepers. Let's see if I can find my place again. Yeah, there is a real vulnerability in the electorate to the kind of demagoguery and disinformation that, unfortunately, the other side is really good at exploiting. The other side? What other side? The left is way better at propaganda. I mean, that's one thing from history. I mean, people that have the truth, right? We just have to wait things out, because eventually the people, the liars, the cheats, the totalitarian lizard ilk, right? Their issue will collapse under their own weight, because they'll go against human nature. They'll go against God. They'll go against everything that is logic. But we have bad propaganda. We don't have good propaganda. Who is she referring to? Fox News with the vaccine mandate? I don't think so. Both Maddow and Clinton accused Republicans of undermining the results of fair elections and calling for violence as a political solution in the interview. Okay. Calling for violence. Okay. Biden's poll numbers have suffered greatly after a cascade of damaging incidents plaguing his administration. Among the worst were the disastrous retreat from Afghanistan, the painful cost of high inflation, and the crisis of illegal immigration at the border. Well, you know, a lot of times you have predecessors to blame, and he certainly does. All of his, like every previous president kind of led up to this point of catastrophe, especially in Afghanistan. Joe owns all these. Now, does Joe really own these? Like, he's in cognitive command of his faculties. Does he really own this? I highly doubt that. Somebody owns it, right? Whoever handles Joe, whoever tells him who he can call on, right, before he gets in the fetal position, whoever that is who deserves the ire of the people. So, yeah, on one poll from October found that only 38% of Americans thought Biden deserved a positive job rating. I think that's just 2 points higher or so than Harry Truman had at the height of the Korean War. Well, good luck with that. But see, I don't think, again, I used to study politics. I don't really study that anymore. I used to think there was strategy. I don't know, aside from a local level, I don't know that there is much strategy left anymore in politics, mainly because I don't know that they even look at the polls. They're carrying out an agenda, right? The agenda of Build Back Better, right? They put it in the bills. Joe Biden named his campaign after it. Justin Trudeau says it. The Prime Minister of Australia says it. That disheveled moron, Boris Johnson, says it. He parrots it, tweets it, hashtags it, right? Everybody's Build Back Better. Well, they're carrying out a plan, right? It's very obvious. They're the Great Reset, Agenda 2030, all these time frames. They write it down, they tell you what they're going to do, and they carry it out. I think to look at this like it's still politics is a little childlike. You know, it's kind of like you've been exposed to more information. It's kind of like Plato's cave, you know, where these men are chained to a log and they're all proud of how they can identify the shadows on the wall. And one finally breaks free and sees the sun and tries to go back in and explain it to them. And they're like, no, but you can't see the shadows anymore. That's, you know, you're not one of us. Because his eyes had been changed and transformed. That's kind of like me. I can't look at this anymore and think politics. You know, like, again, I like the Let's Go Brandon stuff. It's fun. But you need it for both of the major parties, right? They're both a problematic cancer that's metastasizing for whatever's left of the Republic, right? I mean, to be partisan is to retire your ability to think constructively, right? To distill an actual real thought, to hold on to truth, because you're not going to hold on to truth long if you're a partisan. It's kind of like, you know, when they go after it, again, you have these people, especially lawmakers now, that will have, they'll hold two thoughts in their head, like, we don't need vaccine mandates, and we're kind of, you know, we're pushing back against these vaccines, but we're also very pro-Trump. Well, he's pushing for the vax every which way he can, right? He's going to continue to shill for that, I guess, for the rest of his life. They still think that's the answer. So we got a problem. we got a real problem with serving multiple, right? You can't serve two masters. You can't serve the truth and also serve partisanship. So let's take a break really quick. This is the David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn, filling in for the great David Knight. An absolute honor. If you guys will bear with me, I promise there'll be great shows this week. And we'll have some great guests, people that David's never had on, but they'll probably have on again after I'm gone. So stay tuned. We're going to run a commercial real quick, and I'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn, filling in for David. He's got a well-deserved week off, but we're still going to plow through the news and have some amazing guests on for you. So we will make David proud, I assure you. All right. Let's. I can't believe I'm running into. We got 20 minutes left on the hour before we get Don Jeffries on. I wanted to talk about. And maybe we can run this Bill Sardi article a little bit later because it's got a lot. I want to talk about the smallpox issue. It's been said a lot, right? This is something that's a key word. I want you to be aware of it. Not saying that's what's coming or that they're going to do anything, but there is something there. And Bill Sardi alludes to that with Bill Gates, right? Bill Gates talked about having he wanted to run a new vaccine or some sort of treatment for smallpox. And then was it like a, you know, talked about a universal vaccine and some sort of program for that. And then like a 2 weeks later, the FBI is investigating a Merck lab in Philadelphia with vials of smallpox were left out. Again, I'm not a coincidence theorist. I'm a proud conspiracy analyst. So I look at these things and I wonder, you know, how much of them are tied together. Well, and again, we're all living through Operation Dark Winter, right? We know this now, right? They run the simulations. They see what sticks. And something that I want you to be aware of. And so we get a little bit more time in this show or perhaps the next show, I want to go over this Bill Sardi article. It's really important. This is Zero Hedge as well. For those of you who are wondering about Black Friday, it's the Black Friday that wasn't. And I've never been a fan of that concept of, you know, you have Thanksgiving and then you go out and you purge and you buy as much stuff as you can. And that's when the retailers get into the black and they make their profit and all that. I don't like that kind of rampant, malignant consumerism. I've never been a fan of that. I'm in business. Again, I didn't get a huge surge of anything from Black Friday because I'm not really retail, right? I'm a gold and silver shop. Didn't get this massive surge. It's not what I really rely on, but I wouldn't want to be in that. I mean, that's something that the marketing to that, the people stampeding over each other, all of this. Well, it turns out that Black Friday shopping is down 28% over 2019 levels, despite improvement over last year. Now, this is interesting. You know, you look at the amount of capital, I say capital, the amount of currency dumped into this market, dumped into worldwide. You know, you have 40% of all the dollars ever created, created under Trump in the last year of his presidency. Actually, Jerome Powell, you know, helped with that, and he stayed on as Fed chair. So they tanked the dollar. It's just, I mean, right now you can, those of us who are watching the currencies and those of us who follow sound money like gold and silver and Bitcoin are looking at this and we see the lightning, right? And this is something, a quote from Nietzsche, you know, I see the lightning, but you know, and you're going to soon hear the thunder. The thunder is coming, right? The thunder of inflation, the loss of purchasing power of the dollar. I mean, Dollar Tree is now a $1.25 tree. Do you realize how monumental that is? I mean, Dollar General, this has been, the dollar stores stories have been all over the place. 99 cent stores no more, right? Yeah, the purchasing power of the dollar is finally in its terminal decline. I don't wish that because it's going to hurt a lot of people. I mean, it's not good for me. It's not good for anybody. But this is what is. I mean, wishing it away, something about positive thinking can be perverted. Right. I talk about this all the time. I'm positive in the sense that I believe that we can, you know, outsmart this. We can prepare for it. We can, even do well in a declining economy or an imploding currency. But to look at it's like looking at your garden and say, I'm going to wish this away. If there's weeds, like there's no weeds, there's no weeds. Yeah, there's weeds. Pluck them out. So that's what we're doing. Let's go back to the article. I want to talk about the loss of Black Friday, because this may be, it may be a trend where it's just gone, right? Again, they don't seem concerned. The multinationals don't seem concerned that much anymore. And maybe you've picked up on this too, dear listener, that they're not concerned with profit. I've noticed that. I mean, they could do it. They could be making a lot more money now, don't you think? But they don't. The good news is Black Friday retail traffic was up 47.5% over last year. The bad news, it was still 28.3% lower than 2019 levels, according to CNBC, citing preliminary data from Sasmoric Solutions. It's clear shoppers are shopping earlier this season, just as they did last year, according to, it's Sensomatic Senior Director of Global Retail Consulting, Brian Field, who added that two primary reasons shoppers are concerned about the supply chain and COVID. The peak time for Black Friday shopping in stores was 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., similar to trends in past years. Black Friday is still predicted to be the busiest in-store shopping day of the season, according to Sensormatic. But on Thanksgiving Day, visits to brick-and-mortar stores cratered 90.4% from 2019 levels. Retailers including Target, Walmart, and Best Buy opted to keep their doors closed to customers on the holiday. Target has said it would be a permanent shift, right? They're closing on Thanksgiving. And they said, if you start seeing outbreaks in the U.S., the thing I would think would drive traffic down would be if governments and communities start locking down again. Otherwise, I think the trends will be very similar to what we expect them to be, right, moving forward. Online spending fell from 2020 levels. Meanwhile, while e-retailers ringing up $8.9 billion in Black Friday sales, down from $9 billion last year, according to Adobe Analytics. The numbers provide even greater evidence that the holiday season has been stretched out as more Americans begin their shopping as early as October. Well, you know, there's something to say for that. I think that the bricks and mortar, we've created new behavioral science with this. There's the only, David Soak right on this. The only real science is behavioral science in all of this. Seeing how you react, seeing how you adapt to your new rules, right? And you see that in people's buying habits, where they go, what they do. And with the bricks and mortar destruction, you know, the controlled demolition of American small business in 2020, you're starting to see massive shifts in where they buy, how they buy. So I think Black Friday is a retail bricks and mortar day to mark on the calendar. It may not hold weight anymore. You have also, again, the one thing that things cost more, right? People know that things cost more. Things are a lot less stable. So you can pump money into this economy all that you want. Not money. You can pump currency. So even I mess up. You can pump currency into this economy all you want, right? You can do it from the top down. You can do it from helicopters. You can give it. But right, again, but if you don't have production, if people don't have a sense of gaining a foothold in the economy, then they pull back, right? They pull back on spending. Consumer confidence lowers. You know, the supply chain obviously weakens the ability to get those products and to get them at a good cost or a lower cost. I just think confidence is down no matter how they pump the dollar up, no matter how many more Luciferian bankster notes they make. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to move the needle. I think that's where we've reached. And that'll be a big theme throughout this week, because this is something I study all the time, especially looking at things like gold, silver, Bitcoin, looking at hard assets against the dollar. It's something I think we should discuss, because there's so much there in it. It's really a language, folks. When you see numbers like that, when you see it's not just about the stock market or anything like that. When you see numbers of the pullback on Black Friday, when you see the loss of consumer confidence, it means something greater. It means that there won't be another 2009, 2010 quantitative easing round that will make the pain of a massive catastrophic loss in the markets go away or numb it. It means that they can't. It means that they've reached peak quantitative easing. You know, this is something, QE is something that the central banks and the Federal Reserve talk about. It's a fancy way of saying we're just going to print more money. And of course, there isn't enough paper to print it. They don't print it. They just digitize it. So when you have an economic system that has ignored production, when we don't make things anymore, when we just consume, right, for the most part, when those jobs have been shipped overseas, when we lost our ability to be the greatest creditor on planet Earth and became the greatest debtor, or when we lost our ability to manufacture, you know, when we were the arsenal of democracy and we traded that in, we pawned America's soul, as Pat Buchanan said, you know, for free trade Uber Alice, you know, for this god of free trade. And we gave away the store. So again, those chickens coming home to roost in the form of peak, I guess it would be a peak ability to absorb the printed or made up out of thin air units known as dollars, and make a difference. I don't think they could do it. That's why you see these spending bills now, I mean, are in the trillions, right? They just keep getting bigger. And there is no talk of reining in spending. I mean, that ship has sailed. There is never going to be, when they talk about taxation, ladies and gentlemen, they're talking about who they can punish. This is coming from the top, right? They want to control winners and losers. They work with the winners and the corporations through economic fascism on who gets to win, right, in this coming new order of things. But they've already written off the dollar. Is that not apparent to all of you? I mean, they care nothing of its value. It's only a political tool now. I mean, this is what happens when we went off the gold standard in 1971. Nixon took, it was August 15th, 1971, we went off the gold standard. Go back and look at the timeline. Right after that, what happened? I mean, boom, we opened China the next year. 1973, you get the Trilateral Commission, right? 1974, America runs its last trade surplus. Nixon's driven from office, right? We don't run a trade surplus ever again in this country. The country that was built, you know, like the four presidents on Mount Rushmore were not free traders, right? As a matter of fact, nobody, no figure on any of our paper currency believed in free trade. They all supported tariffs. But again, we went away from that model. We went away from the gold standard. Nixon took us off the gold standard. And then we get all these financial products, right? The financial products known as the stock market, the 401ks, the IRA, all these things are pushed. These were not products that existed before going off the gold standard. And the reason why is because fiat currency, the scam of it, right, is you have to keep it going. It's literally the biggest Ponzi scheme that ever existed, right? It's hard to fathom like how big it is. I mean, it's on a spiritual level of like dark entities and, I call it economic alchemy. Like they got the Philosopher's Stone. They finally figured it out, like how to make gold out of thin air. Well, that's what they did for a while. But the scheme is, and the Ponzi scheme of it is that you have to keep, of course, you have to have, you know, a military to back it up. You have to have, you have to be a great lender and all this stuff and borrower. And you confuse that, those two things together. But it has to keep going. You have to keep pumping it in. People have to continue to take part in it. So you used to, and I'll have props on later in the week. We'll talk about, you know, the loss of purchasing power of the dollar and why. But, you know, you go back and you look at what an ounce of gold was in 1975 or 71, and it was $35 an ounce, right? And what is it today? Well, I'll pull it up here in a little bit. It's probably around $1,800 an ounce for the yellow metal. Does that mean that gold went up, or is it because the dollar went down? Now, the dollar's catastrophically lost purchasing power, but you need it when you have these things untethered by any sort of real backing. You need it to continue through the system like a shark needs to keep swimming, right? This is what currency is all about. It's like an electric current. If it stops, it'll die. This is a long way of going around and showing you these numbers that you're seeing. These are signposts and warnings for you on the road that things I have normalcy bias. We all do, right? We grew up in what we thought was a free country, and we have, you know, our expectations of being able to right wrongs, you know, and I get it, you know, and you get to think, well, they can't be that foolish. No, they're not foolish. It's called creative destruction. They want to pick the winners and losers. They know the dollar's going to crash. They know that they're going to replace it with something else. They really want a central bank digital currency. I remember being on the David Knight Show back in November of 2019, and we were discussing, you know, economic, a downturn when I thought it might come. I said, well, probably about 18 months. Well, you know, I wasn't that far off, I guess. It's unprecedented amount of spending, because we were both following what was happening with the Federal Reserve at the time, leading up to 2020. And you go back and they spent they created $6 trillion new dollars to bail out the overnight markets. Markets that swap credits to make sure that everybody stays liquid while checks clear and debits and everything else. This massive amount of new money was created. Then you get the scamdemic. Then you get the Trump last year of the Trump presidency, where they just showered the PPP money, everything, the helicopter money, bailing out the multinationals. And it's unprecedented, folks. Again, they continue to put money in the economy. They can't taper. They really can't. They can talk about it. It always makes the market go really wobbly. They can talk about raising interest rates, but they can't. The reason they can't is because now the economy is addicted to the heroin, right? To the drug of fake money. It needs it. It can't do without it, because we're not based on a production economy anymore. We're not based on even really profit anymore. Not unless you're like me. Not unless you're like a real small business, like a real entrepreneur who, if they fail, they really fail, right? These zombie corporations that they have now don't really fail at all, right? We know this. So be aware. We're going to talk about gold and silver all week. So I won't go on too much of a tangent. We got to get Don Jeffries on. You guys bear with me. I'm going to play a commercial. I'm going to reach out to my friend Don Jeffries. We're going to have a great conversation on his new article that's up on donaldjeffries.media. I need to pull that up as well. So stand by. I'll be right back.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
All right, stand by, folks. We're going to get Don Jeffries on the line. Again, this is your humble host running everything, just myself. Beans the Brave is in charge of production and security, but lacks the skills to get Don on. Let me see. Don is ready. We're going to pull up Don Jeffries. Stand by. Don, do I have you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. The wonderful David Knight audience is being very patient with me as I run all the board and all the calls and everything myself. And I appreciate you you joining us today. This won't be the last time you're on for the week, because I was telling the audience earlier that we're going to be diving in on Friday about to your new book on borrowed fame. And I just listened to the interview you did on Coast to Coast, and it was magnificent. Really, really enjoyed that. I'm going to pull up your website real quick. We got donaldjeffries.media. And you've got a new article out on Substack. And this is something that you and I talked about on Saturday on the America Unplugged program, where you had likened what we are in to World War III. I totally agree. Let's see. We've got, so is your new article, is it up on Substack right now? World War III is here. Yeah, I got you.
What if they gave a war and nobody knew?
You know? Gotcha. I'm going to pull that. I'm going to put that up on the screen, in lieu of you, my friend. So 1 second, let me put that over there. Cool. I got you here. So the audience knows. If you go to donaldjeffries.media, he's got a new article up on Substack, and it's in line to what we were talking about on Saturday on America Unplugged. And I think that's it's healthy to understand that you were in a worldwide war. It's something that, we've not seen this type of warfare. This is new, right? This is new in the history of mankind, the scale of the PSYOP. So, talk a little bit about, what you wrote and what was your inspiration for it?
Well, thanks, Tony. Yeah. And I appreciate the kind words as always, but, yeah, you know, I think this is, I've been calling what we're the COVID narrative, the greatest PSYOP in the history of the world, because it is a worldwide narrative. But it occurred to me recently that really it's more than a PSYOP, that because, and you see, I did specifically cite places like Victoria, Australia, but in places like that where the authorities are overtly waging war against their citizens. There's no question about it. And we're seeing a little of that in America, but it's because we're not fighting back as much as they are in France and Germany. In places like that, they really haven't had to maybe act like Victoria, Australia authorities yet. And I hope they don't. But this is unprecedented in history, because first of all, it's a worldwide thing. This is something where it really is like one of those science fiction movies where a contagion, where a real thing hit. You know, it didn't discriminate; it went everywhere. Well, this is kind of a contagion of tyranny that is everywhere. And it is struck, you know, as I write in the article, you know, maybe the citizens in China, they'll be able to adjust to this better, because they're used to being, you know, clamped down, and they're used to working, you know, 15-hour days for 10 cents an hour, whatever it is, living in bunk bed cubicles. This is, you know, they've bent the knee to authority for a very long time. That's all they know. But for Americans that have any sense of, you know, of being descendants of Thomas Paine and Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Henry, this should be so foreign to them, but it doesn't really seem to be. And that's why I said is the strangest part of it all is literally the governments and the elite, because this is not just the governments. The entire corporate world globally is they're all on board this. There's not one single business leader I know anywhere that is even doubted, is skeptical in the least about all this, the ridiculous, dubious science and everything. They're all buying it 100%. Almost every celebrity, there's a few of them that that ventured off the reservation in the sports world especially, and they've been kind of suitably chastised, but they're in such a minority, they really can't make a difference. So it's basically anybody in a position of prominence, if they want to keep that prominence, they're on board, and it's an us against them situation. I call, you know, them and some people that are waging war on us, they're all with them. And unfortunately for us, most of the people that should be on our side, you know, objecting to this, are actually in favor of it. They're waving it on, and I liken their masks that they're wearing. Because if you're out anywhere, Tony, you can pretty much tell whether somebody's buying this narrative, whether or not they're, you know, by whether or not they're wearing a mask. And I see there are a lot more people wearing masks than not in my area. I don't know about you, but I liken that to a uniform. Or, you know, in Vietnam, we couldn't, you know, one of the many complaints about our poor soldiers that were dropped into an unwinnable situation, a senseless situation, was the fact there were no uniforms. There was nothing to distinguish the North Vietnamese didn't look any different than the South Vietnamese. Koreans don't look any different than South Koreans. And they're not wearing uniforms, so you couldn't distinguish who they were. Just an awful situation. Who's the enemy? I don't know, you know. But here, I think, you know, we can distinguish who's buying this and who's not. That mask is basically a uniform. So I used a lot of analogies like that, but it's an awful situation. And you know, certainly I've been writing about this and tyranny, the woke authoritarians and everything for a while, but they have used this COVID narrative to really clamp down. They're not quite to the Orwell stage of boot stamping on our faces forever, but we're getting close to that.
I see it too, Don. I was talking about in the first hour, you know, really coming to the realization that there really is no left, right. There is no political camps. There's no safety. You know, it's only the people at this point versus the plutocrats. Now there's a lot of people that inadvertently, unwittingly, or wittingly serve their corporate masters. And the one thing that we have in common, and I know you've really touched on this in your book, Survival of the Richest. And of course, you know, your admiration for Huey Long, both hated by the left and right, you know, because he had actual solutions. And, you know, we look at this and we see that the one common theme stretching through the political narrative is the love for corporations, the worship of corporations. And, you know, you see that in the left that loves Pfizer and, you know, everything that the vaccine manufacturers can do and whatever, if it's a woke corporation and the right gives them a pass because, you know, free markets and all the rest, you know, they're totally blind to the politics of this. But really, at the end of the day, that's the struggle that we're in my opinion, is these oligarchs, these plutocrats, you know, these deviants, really. I mean, they had enough wealth to, start controlling a psychopathic future. And I think they want to control resources, control the economic destiny, control everything for all time. Now they have the technology. So they're merging things like their surveillance state. They're merging things like lockdowns, you know, like vaccine passports with their future, which is, you know, a World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwabian, Great Reset future of smart cities and pods and the word sustainability comes up. That's the war that we're in.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, so many of us have warned against world government, you know, going back to the beginning of the so-called conspiracy theorists, you know, that we see this theme over and over again, one world government, new world order and everything. Well, I think it's here. I mean, this pandemic proves that all the governments in the world are aligned with each other on something as significant as this. Because none of them fought back. Vladimir Putin, who does a lot of great stuff and has been demonized in the press, but he hasn't scoffed at this. I mean, the only people I know that scoffed at it at all and looked at it the way that anyone with a skeptical mind should be looking at it was that president of Nigeria. And I don't know if they knocked him off or whatever. Early on, the leaders of Belarus were kind of skeptical about it. I don't know what happened to them, Brazil. But none of them were fully to the point where they questioned that's why I go into this. I mean, really, if you're believing this at point, you're believing, you know, Lewis Carroll, you know, wrote in Alice in Wonderland, you know, about believing 12 impossible things or whatever it was before breakfast, you know. So, you know, every day when we look at this, we're believing impossible things before breakfast. Because this so-called science makes no sense. I point out what happened. You know, this science has told us forever the way viruses work. They come in the yearly coronavirus, which is basically includes a common cold, and at the flu, it's all kind of mixed in there. When you get that stuff that you get over 48 hours, 72 hours, or whatever, that's what we used to talk about. You know, it's a 48 hour thing. It's a 72 hour bug, whatever. All that's gone because this is apparently a 2-year bug. I mean, it's forever, and those viruses used to burn out in the spring when things warmed up. That was science, supposedly. The virus couldn't survive in the heat. This one never burned out. It kind of, you know, went ebbed and flowed a little bit, but it was never the sense that it was gone completely. And come fall of 2020, you should have seen a new strain, because the old one, the dreaded COVID-19, should have been gone, consigned to the dustbin of history. According to all other viruses that preceded it, COVID-20 never came along. Never mentioned COVID-20. And now we should be seeing COVID-21 should be here. But instead, there's just this mysterious COVID that just stays and lingers and is always there. And now we have these mysterious variants, which, again, these are words like mandates, meaningless. You know, mandates, for those of you out there, you're following something that it has no legal basis at all. A mandate is just somebody saying, I decree. I say this. That's not the way a free society is supposed to work, but everybody's following it. The press is parroting this mandate, that mandate. What do you mean mandate? What do you do? It's just somebody just making an order. That's authoritarianism on steroids. That's as bad as any king that just, you know, decided to make some kind of an order, a decree from the king. But we're accepting it, and variance is in that category. What does that even mean? You know, now you have a new deadly African strain, which, you know, they may use to shut down things further. So I this shows no signs of ending. I say when this all began, I didn't see what the the end game was here, but now I've come to realize I think we are at World War III, and that's why I don't fear at this point. I don't fear a war with Iran or China or Russia or anything like any kind of interventionism, any boogeyman type stuff that they had before, because I think they're going to focus all their efforts for the first time. We know they're at war all the time. We're, you know, perpetual war, but I think they've decided, hey, let's just go to war on our citizens. And I think that's what's happening all over the world. World War III is are the leaders going against their own citizens.
Again, you were spot on. I wanted to get your opinion. You talk about all the world leaders, and we see this with the continuity of Build Back Better. That's one of the key phrases here. I don't know. It's something that's very cult-like. You know, they all parrot it. I mentioned earlier, you got Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of Australia, all the little lackeys there. You got Justin Trudeau. They're all, and of course, Biden runs on the theme. Greta Thunberg talks about Build Back Better. All these usual suspects, right? They're all talking about Build Back Better. In this realm of the governments around the world working in concert against their people, where do you think China fits in all of this? Because, you know, David Knight's talking about the year that the world became China. It's one of the reasons his last videos were banned off YouTube. And I agree with that, because China was the model. Where do they, geopolitically, from your standpoint, what's going on with, you know, obviously you have the right, the so-called right, you know, they want to package this and blame China. You and I agree on that's a misdirection. But where do you think China fits in this geopolitically?
Well, I think you and David are exactly right. I think this is basically China gone worldwide. This is I pointed out in Survival of the Richest, I have all the quotes in there from American, so-called American corporate leaders, their admiration for China. Yeah, you know, they love the way China does things to, you know, pay their workers as little as possible, have a small elite at the top, have things running smoothly. Now, the problems in places like America, we certainly don't have that. We'd have to change something else entirely about the nature of our leadership, because whatever things you say about China, they are efficient. American leadership is anything but efficient. We have this monumental incompetence everywhere, mixed in with the corruption. But I think they're emulating, and that's why I think you're going to see more and more effort to, and again, this is coming from the right. There's so much propaganda from the left, but the propaganda from the right is that there are so many jobs out there and people just don't want to work because they're too busy accepting this largesse that's coming, which I don't know where this largesse is coming from. It's, you know, fantastic payments people are getting. I don't know anybody doing that, but that's the, you know, that I think I talked about that on American Plug a few weeks back. There was a young guy in Florida who just shattered that myth, who applied at 60 entry-level jobs recently, got one interview, entry-level jobs that are paying nothing. And so that's the reality. And of course, it couldn't be any different because it was bad before, and they shut down untold numbers of small businesses. Again, without anyone in the corporate world that worships this rigged marketplace saying anything about it. They just shrugged. Oh, you know, the marketplace rules. Well, not if the government says there's a mysterious virus. You have to lose your business, apparently. No one's fighting that. But that kind of thing would have been possible in China forever. That's why China has not had to make any adjustments here. I don't imagine things have changed too much in China, really, because they've been a locked-down totalitarian society for as long as we can remember. And I think our leaders would love to make this a lockdown society. The only difference would be, and I think I wrote about this in American Free Press, I forget the name for it, but in China, they actually laugh at the woke politics we have. It's absurd, you know, 57 genders and everything. And they have a word for it, but it basically diminishes and just says, you know, Americans are so deluded, which we are. So that's the only thing I think that differs from us. And I think the people at the top, they throw those things out there, and that's how they keep these crazy woke authoritarians happy. You mentioned about woke corporations. Well, they don't care what how much Bill Gates pays his worker, or Jeff Bezos. They don't care anything about that. They don't care about wages and benefits anymore, just like Chinese leaders don't. As long as they, you know, give money, which they can write off in taxes and still, you know, to various woke causes, and they support transgender politics, and they'll say everything's racist when you tell them to. That's the way where things have changed. But I think China has been other than the woke politics, everything else about it, this is right on board with what China is doing. It's basically, you know, we're whatever we say goes. And I don't know what kind of press China has, but I can't believe that it could be any more state controlled than our press is at this point. And for, you know, maybe it is a worldwide China with little variations like we have, variants, if you will, like we have in America with crazy woke authoritarian politics mixed in.
Yeah, it's like the left and those who push these corporations woke, or maybe it's the other way around. I really can't tell anymore. But you see that they hate their enemies more than they love their own self-interest, you know, what's good for them economically, what's good for them on the freedom scale. And they push these corporations to control them and to own them. And it really, you know, the corporations too, the multinationals, they didn't, like you said, they didn't fight for freedom. They didn't fight for the free market during these lockdowns. There was nobody sticking up for the average, you know, free market economy, and no one. It was all about the lockdowns. You know, even most economists, I find this kind of a ridiculous stat, but most economists, I believe, I saw this poll about in Australia, believe that the lockdowns were good. Like, I mean, how do you study economics and think that locking down and stopping the supply chain and stopping production will be a good thing, you know? And so I think that's where we stand in this country and it's around the world with these type of you know, entities ruling so much of the narrative and so much of the resources. And it's like, you know, I believe it was Lenin said that, you know, the capitalists will make the rope that hangs them.
Yes,
right.
Yes, exactly.
And
exactly.
We've certainly done that. Like we're like at the end of what we've always known. I mean, as any kind of semblance of free market, we've, you know, we haven't been laissez-faire in a long, long time. You know, it was Nixon that said we're all Keynesians now back in the 70s after we went off the gold standards. Well, we'd been Keynesians a long time before that, really. If you go back to Bretton Woods and, you know, even Franklin Roosevelt doing the gold confiscation and taking the gold out of the hands of the American people. So we haven't been free market in a long time, but it seems that the days of that 1980s Reagan style, you know, flag waving, red, white, and blue, you know, Wall Street kind of era is dead.
Yeah, well, it is, and it's at this point there is no left and right, as you say, because basically even the best of them, you know, there are very few voices in the mainstream media that are skeptical about this at all. But Tucker Carlson has been one of them, and even he. He's, you know, they're always careful to say, you know, we're not anti-vaccine, always. And, you know, there should be dubious about vaccine. I went into, in Crimes and Cover-Ups, the politics 1776, 1963, I went into the history of the vaccines, how early on, many, many leading doctors believed that vaccines were a bad thing and that they attributed their sudden onslaught of cancer the introduction of vaccines. If you look back in history, right about when vaccines were introduced, that's when you suddenly started hearing about cancer. Before that, cancer was pretty much unknown. So is there a correlation? Well, you can see in recent years, people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's a shining beacon of light right now. You know, he's the leader out there, the guy with whatever platform he has that is speaking truth, and no one else is. And I know, but Bobby Kennedy was one of those who jumped early on board. Many people have talked about the sudden onslaught of autism, which again, almost unknown. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't even know what the word autistic was. There were no kids that had any Asperger's or any of this stuff that is now so common now. But once they started increasing the number of vaccines, started giving, you know, to babies and small children, and there's case stories and anecdotes, you know, everywhere. From parents who say, you know, their child was perfectly developing, perfectly normal, suddenly got this and this vaccine, boom, suddenly started having delays, lose the ability to speak, things, awful things like that. But clearly there's a correlation, but they began demonizing people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and some outlier doctors that were talking about this, and the celebrities that jumped on board. And that's why, you know, this has become, that attitude is now prevalent to anybody who's questioning this vaccine. But, you know, there was good reason to question it as far as cancer early on. There's good reason to question it with autism. But at least those vaccines went through trials and studies. At least they went through the so-called scientific protocol. This one went through nothing. I understand people are saying that, you know, the animals they gave this vaccine to and the very limited testing they did died. Now, if that's true, that's unbelievable that they're putting this in human beings. But that's why I say this war is unlike anything we've ever seen, because the entire establishment is aligned against the people, because the scientific community, other than renegades, and the medical industrial complex, again, other than renegades, they should be, look at the precautions they take when you had a very minute number of deaths or injuries from something. They would, rail it back if that was the case. This, they know that this vaccine, they tell you, the CDC, not a conspiracy theorist, tells you it's already killed more people by far than all the other vaccines combined since 1901. And most people think they're really, suppressing the actual numbers. It's causing massive heart disease in children who get it. This is horrific. This is, monstrous. And where is the medical industrial complex? Where is the outrage? If the World Health Organization was a really altruistic organization, they would be outraged. They would be demanding the politicians stop this. Same thing with the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. Well, they're creating diseases here because of this untested vaccine. But again, nobody's talking about this. And a lot of this is because Trump is in the center of it again, and that's the divide. Even the right that's skeptical of it and doesn't like the vaccine mandates, and largely or a lot of them are unvaccinated, they still trust in Trump, even though he's openly telling them, this is my vaccine, he's taking credit for it, and he has not said one word against the mandates. This is your fearless leader. He's not criticizing anything. He even refused to, an interview last month, he wouldn't even say anything negative about Anthony Fauci. Blamed it all on Biden. So this is the problem. We don't have, other than Robert F. Kennedy Jr., there's nobody with any real public platform that is out there speaking out for what I call us, our side against the leaders.
Yeah, it's really a great test. You can find out who's on your side, right? Who's on the side of humanity and freedom and a future for, for people, by finding out what their views are on this vaccine and the mandates. And, if they couch it where they say, well, I'm very pro vaccine. Why do you have to be? That's a really strange position, don't you think? I mean, did you ever look into the fact that they can't be sued, that they have no liability? Did you know that? Are you buying into this cult like following where, if you don't get yours, mine doesn't work? I mean, this has never been in the history of vaccination, has never been the theme where an unvaccinated person is a danger to you, right? It was, the danger was you not having the vaccine. They've completely changed that. And in the matter of a couple of years. And so, I mean, and before our eyes, what I remember before all this kicked off, there were, mainstream news stories, Don, saying, well, America will never mask up. We're not a mask type people. China does it, but we won't do it. And I thought, depends on who says to do it. And of course, they rolled it out. They made it a political issue. And it was like a badge. Like if you wore the mask, then you were against the right, or the perceived right, or the Trump election. Right. So you, and then that just continued. And we masked the children. You have to be masked. My mask doesn't work if you don't wear your mask. This was the placeholder. And David's so right on this, the placeholder for the vaccine. We live in an age now. And that's why it's so, again, I'm proud. It was a badge of honor to watch like my listeners decline after during the election, when I told them what was going to happen. I've talked about warp speed, the people that kind of to buy into a certain narrative, the partisans, they never want to hear, factual info. They don't, they have to pick a team. And I think people like you and I, we're just want to find the truth. And there's so very few people that are willing to stake their careers and willing to stake their financial the future on being skeptical of these injections, right? And again, you have to ask questions if you're looking at this from any sort of rational perspective. And I think I always go back to that quote from the movie Platoon. Oliver Stone wrote that kind of about himself, and Charlie Sheen plays that role, and he says that hell is the absence of reason. And I forget what the actual quote to attribute it to, but I remember that from that movie. And it seems that's what we're in right now. There's this lack of reason where they can't even think through a simple problem like, okay, you know, like, again, we go back to, well, if your vaccine works, then why do I have to get mine, even though it doesn't work? Right. So you put that on. It'd be one thing, too, if the thing worked and it still doesn't. It makes you sick. Right. It creates autoimmune problems, myocarditis, all this stuff. Right. That has the potential side effects. And they even say, you know, even Boris Johnson came out and said, you know, this doesn't protect against transmission. So what are we doing this for? But no one calls it.
Yeah, what it essentially boils down to, it's obedience. But you're getting it. You're listening to authority, and that's what you're doing. Be a good citizen. That's the definition of a good citizen. We used to teach civics in high school, way back before I was in high school, and that didn't include anything like that. You know, if the government tells you to take a shot that hasn't been tested, that's not part of civics. That's being subservient, and it's being basically a slave. And that's, again, why I think I hate it when the right condemns China, because we're doing so many things, you know, that are indistinguishable from what's happening in China. We're approaching this entire subject no differently than China did. And it's very sad to see, because the left has completely lost its, as you mentioned, there's no reason at all in it. And there's a little bit of reason on the right, but it all goes away when you inject this giant orange actor into it, Trump, is that all reason goes out there? I'm just I heard ever in my life of the premise that, you know, vaccines wouldn't work unless everybody got them was when Trump was president. You remember there was an outcry about mumps. I think it was mumps or measles. I think it was measles, but a vaccine, and that people, I guess, would stop getting it or something. And I remember arguing on forums at the time, well, you know, what do you care if your kids have gotten the measles injection vaccine and they're protected, right? And that concept was foreign to me. And Trump chimed in and said, just get the shots or whatever. He jumped in, as he always has, on the side of authority when he has to do it. I mean, he may go tweet something different, but that's what he did. But his followers, they just accept it, and they go on, and they continue to rally behind them. And there's really, if they're rallying behind anybody, it should be Robert F. Kennedy Jr., if they have to have a politician to rally behind. But at this point, it is really just the absence of reason. And I said, you know, when you, things we've accepted from the beginning, and I've been arguing against it, as you know, Tony, from the very beginning. But, you know, when they started this thing, I remember for having to go to restaurants and wearing your restaurant, I kept trying. I would even openly say it there. I said, yeah, I'm sure glad I can get to that table where the virus can't get me. You know, it just no sense. And people would just give you a blank stare, or, you know, you'd go into, you know, to a cashier's or a post office or whatever, and they have the plexiglass up that's open at the top, open at the bottom, open on the sides. I mean, this is whatever they're paying for that is completely wasted money. I mean, and you try to tell people and they give you a blank look, and that's it's an absence of reason. Just as you said, just have a little critical thought. And I this whole thing has made me so disillusioned, because I knew people that, you know, the average IQ in America has been plummeting since I think the late 70s, you know, and it's going down, you know, every generation, it just goes down further. And obviously, you know, we see the trend continuing now, the cyber world, where you have, you know, kids that are being born that are just, you know, stuck their noses in their cell phones all the time. They're not even living in the real world. Obviously their IQs are going to be lower and lower. So the propaganda, it's not like it was hard for them to inject propaganda, you know, after World War, you know, Pearl Harbor or something. You know, they had people planting victory gardens within a week. You know, so the propaganda worked well then, but at least there was a little more critical thought. Now they can literally say, they talk about an African variant, and I haven't heard any stirrings yet within my family, but I'm sure I will hear a new, you know, if they continue it. Now, if they back off, which I don't know, maybe they will, but if they keep pressing this variant from Africa, you need a new booster, and this is the deadliest one yet, the biggest in the, you know, Friday the 13th, part 12 or whatever. This is, you know, this time it's personal, or whatever, you know, Hollywood trope you want to use. And I think I'm going to see it in my family, and I'll see it everywhere else, where people will just way back up. And I write in the article, you know, how many loved ones gone unhugged and unkissed over the last 2 years, senselessly, especially old people. You know, just imagine how tragic it is, because you bought some absurd lie that's not based on anything. anything scientific, anything reasonable or rational at all. You bought that, and so you didn't get to hug your elderly grandparent or something the last time. You didn't get to say goodbye to them. You didn't get to visit them. You didn't even get to hold a real memorial service for them, or you didn't go to a wedding. So you didn't get to see somebody married or whatever. I mean, you didn't go get to see a baby being born. As old people, maybe didn't get to see their great grandchildren. This is tragedy beyond comprehension. And it's all because people bought into it. And that's why I read in the article, just like Orwell's proles, he wrote in there, you know, that if there's any hope, it lies in the proles. They could overpower the party at any time because they outnumber them by so much. Well, obviously we outnumber the elite by the billions around the world. And we could easily overpower them just by sheer numbers. But I drew the analogy in the book. You can't get, because of American dysfunction, especially in America. I don't know how bad the family dysfunction is around the world, but I know how bad it is in America. That's why you see so few family businesses. You see a lot of immigrants coming into the country that start family businesses, pool their resources. You couldn't get the average family in America to pool their resources to start a business without there being at least one murder or prison sentence resulting from it. I mean, that's how bad the dysfunction is. And so how are you ever going to get people to come together? I mean, you can't. And who knows how many arguments that happened at Thanksgivings or Thanksgiving get-togethers didn't even happen because of this, you know, because Uncle Billy didn't get vaccinated or whatever. This is the problem, that we can't admit that. I don't know if you remember, but I remember those emails that used to be sent out to people to try to make a Lexington Concord shot that could easily be done. They would say, hey, let's resolve nobody buy gas next Thursday or whatever. Now, that's something that could be easy to do, just buy it a Wednesday or something, or buy it, you know, Friday. They couldn't even get people to do that. They could, so you can't get people to come together in something like that, which there's no risk involved. They can't come up with a law that you have to buy gas on a particular day, right? It was a beautiful concept, but so I remember at that time really thinking, wow, there really is no hope. They can't even get people to do something like that. And so I don't know how you would ever get people to, and certainly after January 6th, how many people, and I can't say that I blame them. I'm not going to go march anywhere, protest anything, because I know I'm not going to have very many people behind me.
No, so I think it's a good idea to abandon, I mean, for the most part, not be unaware of, but abandon national politics in so many ways, because it's the resources that it takes, the money that it takes, you could reallocate that. And I'm thinking strategically, like I'm wargaming out, you reallocate that to local.
Yeah.
You know, and the infrastructure that you have in your county, because really there's no fixing Washington. And so one thing you mentioned about, we can't even get together on it, you know, any sort of clear strategy or for pushback, like not buying gas on a certain day or not shopping somewhere. I mean, these would be simple things to send a message, but the elites, you know, and we've made this observation, they're completely united for the most part, right? They're all on the same page. If you're in the billionaire club, then you believe in lockdowns, mass vaccination. I mean, for the most part, I mean, it's almost no one that I can think of at the top of my head, especially not a company, that's not for these mandates and lockdowns and the merger of government and corporations. So I again, but you look at that, the unification that they have on that level, and then the fragmented society that we have, where, I mean, who knows? I mean, I have people come in my shop all the time, and they'll start talking and they'll tell me what they believe in. And I'm thinking, that's interesting. You sound like a conservative. And all of a sudden the next 2-3 lines is QAnon stuff. And I go, oh no, you know, like, oh no, like they went down there. They've got the mind control. And there's so much, they did such the PSYOP is so strong, Don. I mean, it's like when I get to Saturdays, when you and I do America Unplugged with Billy Ray Valentine, I just think I'm talking, you guys are my therapy. Cause I think I'm insane or something. Like, cause I'm looking at the world going, none, I don't buy any of this. Doesn't make any, I'm not joining a group. I think you and I talked about that yesterday. You know, it's like, I'm not in a bunch of clubs, you know, it's hard for me to do that. I'm more of a, you know, individual thinker, but that's kind of the goal of the planners, the people that are farming us, is for us to be fragmented.
Right. And they've certainly done a great job. And then you mentioned the QAnon thing, and that's been the goal of the elite long before this World War III was launched under the guise of the pandemic. But they, you know, I wrote Hidden History about all the infiltration. That's why Tucker Carlson mentioned the FBI agents and on January 6th. That was huge because nobody in the mainstream has done that for a very long time. And that's the kind of stuff I talked about in Hidden History, where government agents, FBI, local law enforcement, CIA, have been infiltrating left and right movements for as long as we can remember. The KKK was always littered with government agents. Black Panthers was always littered with government agents. So obviously it stands to reason that something like QAnon, even if it was legitimate, which I think the entire thing was a psyop, obviously, just by the nature of the lunacy of the fact that they keep making Gene Dixon-like predictions that never come true. They keep coming up with dates and pushing them back. And then, of course, the whole thing is built around, a lot of it is built around the JFK Jr. faking his death and coming back, which, you know, we'd all love to believe. That would be great. But nice ending to a Frank Capra ending to this madness. But unfortunately, just it's simply, you know, not true. I mean, the guy they got to play JFK Jr. that they think, Vincent Putski, I think is his name, guy's like, you know, 6-7 inches shorter than JFK Jr. was. I mean, they didn't even bother to get an actor that, you know, was the same height. I mean, just, you know, you bring that up and they just, you know, oh, I guess you like Hillary or something. And that's the extent of it. So they channeled the opposition and they got millions. I don't know how many people still believe in QAnon, but it's probably millions. And the fact that they could get that many people. But and that was the way to distract them from the obvious reality that Trump wasn't the answer. So they channeled the opposition to this corruption, and it is opposition. I mean, people in QAnon clearly see all the corruption. They understand about the deep state and that the swamp needs to be drained. It's just that they're buying into Trump and some of the people that he hired, the other people. That they're the good guys and that they're waiting and they're playing 5,000 degree chess, and it gets them pacified. And the fact they're still pacified is beyond me. I mean, I don't know how anybody can still be, especially when we're really literally in the midst of World War III. And you know what? Trump isn't on your side. He's clearly with, he's bragging about it. So it's very distressing to know that almost all, because very little anger is coming from the left, except from people that I've communicated with that I call friends, like Cindy and Cindy Sheehan, Naomi Wolf. Very few of them, though. There aren't many. They're not enough to make, and of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But the rest of it, the rest of the opposition to this is coming from the right, but it's largely the QAnon right. So you have someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene in Congress who is an outlier, and it looks like, how the hell did she get in Congress? How did they let her in? But she, you know, she's really, at heart, she believes in the Q stuff. And that's the problem, is that there's so few people that have reason and are not concentrated. Right now, the focus on the opposition should be to the entire narrative, not just the vaccine. I mean, I still do say, you've heard me say that, you know, I don't care if people get vaccinated. That's fine. That's your choice. But really, in reality, I would like to, to point out how foolish it is to be getting this particular vaccine. And so I think we need to approach it from that standpoint, that this entire thing, we need to roll it back to when this began. The science that is based on the CDC directive to hospitals that I published on my social media when it came out before they started shadow banning me, says that urges hospitals, instructs them to list the cause of death from anything as being from COVID-19, even when testing wasn't available or inconclusive. The fact that, as John Rappaport said on my show early on, that they include, the CDC has a little asterisk with their weekly death reports on COVID, where they tell you includes presumptive cases. So it included cases that had never been tested, and thus you have no idea what they had. And we have example after example of hospitals getting financial incentives so that they've killed any number of old people, putting on ventilators because they get $33,000, whatever, for every case they have on ventilator. This is what we should be stressing. But except for a little bit here or there with Tucker Carlson, it's not coming out. And instead, we're kind of lamely arguing against, we're catching it at the tail end of the newest wave of tyranny. So now it's just, no, you know, we can't get another booster. We don't know. The whole thing needs to be examined. But I know that's a monumental task, because we're saddled with shocking ignorance on the part even of a lot of people that are on our side, and we're battling power at every level. And that's why I do agree with you, and I agree with David Knight that it needs to start at the local level, at the school boards and things like that. Maybe we can make some inroads there, because the national politics is hope.
I agree. You know, there was a quote that I always remember, and I can't remember if it's some people say it's Harriet Beecher Stowe, some people said it's Lincoln, but to sin in silence when they should protest makes cowards of men. And I wanted to talk about your program, I Protest. You just moved over to aftermath.fm. You've got the Donald Jeffries Show on Wednesdays on the Ocelli Network, and people can find your work. I'll say it again, and we're going to have you back, Don, to discuss your latest book on Borrowed Fame on Friday. I'd like to have a longer conversation, just kind of finish out the week with something a little different. But I wanted you to, your experience in history, and I look to you as an historian and a thinker. I said something in the first hour about truth eventually coming out, like the elites, the planners, whether they're, the tyrants of history, the people that try to shape narrative not based on truth, eventually that collapses under its own weight. That's my reading of things. I mean, it takes a long time. Those of us who believe, that we are seeking the truth and sticking with that, even at the cost of our own financial future and the cost of our, maybe even our freedom in this climate, we believe that the truth eventually finds its way to the surface. Do you see that as well in your writing and what you've all your life experience now with the books you've written? Do you feel like that the truth will eventually come out here, even with their censorship and propaganda?
Well, Tony, I believe I have faith, so I believe the truth will come out on Judgment Day. I think the truth obviously will be obvious to us when we go beyond this world, but. Everything, I write history books, and the truth has come out to people like us who are willing to look at the evidence, but the truth about, everything from the founding of this republic now is being, because history is written by the victors, the wrong people want it virtually every time. And so you look at something like the JFK assassination, which, obviously the vast majority of the people know that Oswald didn't do it, but the truth, official truth, is that Oswald did it. That's what everybody in position of power will tell you. 9/11, again, you study the evidence. Everybody knows it was it's absurd, the worst, most ridiculous conspiracy theory imaginable. 19 crazed Arabs with box cutters and plastic knives did that. But that's the official history, according to the court historians, of people other than people like me who had the forums I have and the publishers I can get to publish my revisionist views on it. So, unfortunately, I don't think the truth will ever come to light as far as being official truth, the state-sanctioned truth or whatever, as long as we have so much corruption and so nothing but corrupt people running the schools and the government and politics, the corporate world. And that's what we have right now. So I don't think, right now we can't even get the truth about it. If you can't even, with all the anecdotal evidence you've had, people like Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham have had them on their shows, the families of little kids that just were completely healthy. And then they're left with heart disease, or the 12-year-old girl that the tragic story Tucker Carlson had on was fine, a great little athlete and everything. She's in a wheelchair now because her mother listened to the absurd propaganda, the science, and got her vaccinated against the disease she had no chance of being affected by at all. And so this is all truth. It's out there, but it's being hidden largely. And certainly in the mass media, the CNNs, the MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post, they're never, if millions do die from this vaccine, as a lot of people in the conspiracy world think, they're just attributed to, to the fact we all didn't get vaccinated, if they acknowledge it at all. So I'd like to be optimistic that it will come to power. I do think truth, we all will know truth one day, but I don't know if it'll be in this world or, I wish I could sound more optimistic. Having read the history, I can't.
Well, I appreciate the honest answer. It's mainly the conclusion that I've come to is that, this may be in a spiritual realm. The truth will eventually win out and be known. But I think that the edifice that they're building of their lies, I just think it's built on such shaky ground. You will have, like Solzhenitsyn talked about, he's like, you know, we know that they're lying. They know that we know that they're lying, but they still lie, you know, and like the people, I think seeing what's happening in the real, in their real lives, not what, you know, CNN broadcasts, you know, but the loss of economic future, the loss of buying power, the loss of, you know, obviously the decline in the betterment of living and quality of life for the average American. And I'm just speaking for Americans, but this is around the world. People are seeing that, you know, and this, they've changed the atmosphere of things. This doesn't even feel like if right now, if you say, well, there was a, you know, major change in like they made it put you in a simulation at some point. I don't know. I would, you know, be open to believe that because it's so different. And, you know, you look at things like, you know, we talk about on America Unplugged, but I've mentioned this before, is like, you know, the word apocalypse just means the unveiling. And it's so shocking that more people aren't seeing it. Like you like the institutions and people that you believed in and churches and religious leaders and all these people that have been shown to be absolute, you know, corrupt puppets. And they were just there to, mislead us, to give us a false sense of security. So it is interesting. And that's why I'm so grateful for your work and being able to do shows with you and have you on. We're going to have you back on again, but I wanted to give you the last word and tell people where they can find you.
Well, thanks, Tony. I really appreciate all your support. You've been very kind and generous to me. My Substack articles are donaldjeffries.media. My actual blog is donaldjeffries.news. My latest book on borrowed fame, Money, Mysteries, and Corruption in the Entertainment World, is out there now at all the typical outlets. And this is my sixth book being published. And as you mentioned, my two radio shows, Wednesdays, from 8 Eastern Time, the Donald Jeffries Show on Ocelli.com. And it later appears on America Unplugged and a variety of outlets, including Jeff Rentz. He runs like four reruns a week of that. And I appear every Monday as well. I'll be appearing tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on Jeff Rentz Show to discuss these same kinds of things. So you can find me out there lots of places. Like I said, if you do a search for me, you probably find out more than you want to know.
Well, I'm so proud to know you, Don, and I love your work and always have, long before we ever got to do shows together. As a matter of fact, the last time I hosted for David was November 13th, 2020, in Austin, and I had you on. And and that, so it's great to kind of come back to that. You're my first guest, you know, filling in for the great David Knight for the week. And you will be the last guest that I have this week because I so enjoy our conversations and your research. And go and find Donald Jeffries, folks. These are some magnificent books. If you're thinking about a stocking stuffer, you're thinking about getting something for the family member who's interested in well-researched hidden history. Hidden History is a great book. Crimes and Cover-ups in American Politics. That's 1776 to 1963. Fantastic, fantastic. But if you're a Lincoln fan, you should buy the book. If you really like Abraham, I'm just kidding. Don does a great leveling of the myth of Lincoln, which is a lot of fun too. And of course, Survival of the Richest. And you've got so many. And then of course, the new book on borrowed fame. We're going to talk about that Friday. But Donald Jeffries, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back Friday. DonaldJeffries.media. Thanks for joining us, Don. I really appreciate you.
So much, Tony. Appreciate it.
Take care, my friend. All right, folks, I appreciate you hanging on with me here, filling in for the great David Knight and running all of my production and everything that I've got going on right now. Let me see if I can pull up a commercial. We'll take a quick commercial break. I may go over an article that I thought was relevant, and we'll have Kinsey on. We'll get Kinsey from Fringe Files. Also, she's the co-host of the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show that we run every Tuesday on aftermath.fm. So stand by. Let me pull up a computer.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Welcome back. This is the David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn. I'm filling in for the great David Knight. I have an arsenal of friends to help me out when I've got to run a three-hour show. You guys have no idea the amount of work that David puts into these shows. And of course, I run my own small business, Gold and Silver Shop. I stay really busy. We fill orders all over the country here at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. So I have, you know, again, limited time to put in the research, but you, even if I had the time, you can't compete with David. It's a massive amount of work to do the research. So I bring in the big guns, folks. I know where to look for help and to get into the deep dives. I'm going to bring on my friend, Kinsey. She hosts a show called Fringe Files on YouTube. You've seen her on the David Knight Show before. You've seen her on my show if you watch my show or if you tune into the Wise Wolf Golden Crypto Show. Welcome. Welcome, Kinsey.
Hey, Tony. Hey, guys. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad you are here to help me through, at least we'll try to get through the last hour together, but I had some headlines I wanted to run by you. I don't know if you caught the first hour, but I discussed the numbers of Black Friday, and they were dismal. The bricks and mortar era seems to be coming to a close. I wanted to get your take on that. We'll have some analysis on what's going on with gold. But before we get into that, and that's the economics of this, let's get into the PSYOP of things. I'm going to throw this at you. This is on Zero Hedge. New variant hysteria. It comes from the same institution that popularized lockdowns and the previous COVID scares. This is what a small world we live in. The new variant scare you keep hearing about is coming from the same people and institutions that spawned the last COVID scare and the one before that and the one before that, dating back all the way to the onset of the COVID mania. The World Health Organization has now labeled the strain the Omicron variant. And again, I'm going to, I said this was the, it sounded like a transformer. It really is. I don't, my six-year-old subconscious must have picked that up when I was watching cartoons as a kid. Apparently that came out in the 80s and Omicron was like a planet-sized transformer. And they skipped over the G in the Greek alpha. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to do new, right? Because it sounds, they'll be confused with new variant. Maybe it's a new strain. Maybe your vaccine won't work. We can't do that. So we'll do, no, I can't do Z either, right? Because that sounds like somebody's last name that runs a big totalitarian nightmare. So I wanted to see what you thought. Do you think we could compromise with the she part, G, and just make a foul and just like put it in parentheses and make it a foul G? What do you think?
That sounds a little better to me. The other interesting thing about the name to this, I know a lot of people have pointed out the acronym for it being moronic, the moronic strain. I can definitely see that. I've also seen some information that, now I have not researched this myself, but I would believe it to be true. I think the Greek translation means the end, a closing act, the final countdown. And the Israeli war games, the way that they named theirs or the strain that they were going to say was resistant to children. That one was kind of interesting too, because it falls into the Great Reset that we're seeing and going through now, whenever it comes down to those Greek translations. And I always find that to be so interesting because most of the names that they give us have a deeper meaning, and you could go to so many different routes. I mean, even the one that you're talking about being a transformer name, find that to be kind of interesting, because I would think that that transformer is probably bad. I've done enough babysitting in my life where I would say this is probably not a good thing.
Yeah, it's a Decepticon. And that just,
it's a Decepticon. And it led me to believe where some of the people are looking into some of the patents out there as far as Omnicon or Omicron. There's like a 5G and nanotech sort of, which we know there's probably some nanotech. They actually call it, they've got keywords for that on some of these big pharma websites. So I don't know. It all plays together. It's kind of scary how it all comes together, right? At the end of the day, if you look into it.
Yeah. And we were just talking about, you know, last week I was on America Unplugged. I was talking about how the scientists were baffled that Africa didn't have high COVID cases and they didn't have high death rates and they weren't like the Western world or the first world. And scientists just couldn't figure out why. And I was like, well, they don't have CNN and they don't have vaccines because they didn't get that. They didn't get that Trump juice from the central banks, you know, that that warp speed money. And mm-hmm. now a week later or 10 days later, the Omicron variant comes out of South Africa. It's really bad. It's the worst thing we've ever seen, even though the doctor who I guess discovered it or was, you know, was treated it said, no, it just creates more symptoms, but it's just as mild, you know, it's a different kind of transmissibility. Who knows if that's even real, but I wanted to tell you this article when they talk about the same institutions, this is something that David talks about a lot. He says, no, not a coincidence that the UK is again, the first mover of the new strain front. The new variant hysteria originated at the Imperial College in the UK, the home of a disgraced, corrupted academic modeling institution that proselytized lockdowns to the Western world. Throughout COVID mania, Imperial has been the source of countless versions of new strain propaganda. The institution does not only participate in shoddy modeling, it both foments the insanity and demands a series of totalitarian measures to deal with their faulty narrative creations. So, yeah, only in the fake world of the Great Reset and Davos and all these people can you just be so wrong all the time and get rewarded for it. I mean, like, if you and I are wrong that we go bankrupt, we can't go on air, like we look like an idiot. But these people keep that. Remember that it was the model that they followed at the Imperial College that Fauci and Birx, you know, showed Trump. And then he was like, we got to lock down and send people to get all the stuff that he was doing, the Friday the 13th executive order. And so now they do it again. But I wanted to ask you, before we, you know, dive into your thoughts on what this new variant could be, I wanted everybody to back up a little bit because only 45 days ago, I did a show called Our Politics and Our Science is All MU Made Up, because it was talking about the Mu variant, which was the 12th mm-hmm. letter in the Greek alphabet. Nothing came of it. But it was a big headline. It was almost as big as this, but they renamed this. They gave it the Transformer name, I think, because Moo just sounded like a cow. It sounded bovine. Maybe it's not, you know, there's no horns on it. It's not going to hurt. It's not a bull. It's just a Moo. But now they got the Transformer name, but nothing came of the Moo variant. What do you think? Where are we going? Am I wrong to think that they're doing a shock test of some kind to scare people and to corral them, or what is this? Is this about Africa? Is this about the globe? What do you think?
This is more about the globe. It has nothing to do with any particular part in this world. When one place is going to, I'm kind of younger, so I'm going to say pop off, or when one place kind of shoots their flare into the sky, it's going to be globally for everyone to see. And that's kind of what we're getting with this name change. And I've, you know, people have asked me the same thing. And I think that David is so correct whenever he said, you know, people were asking him, are they going to, you know, lock us down or introduce this new strain before or after the holidays? It's probably going to be somewhere in the middle of the holidays. I think he's so accurate whenever he says that, you know, they need to squeeze every little dime that they can out of you. And right now, looking at the financial side of things, it could come sooner, but I still think that we're going to at least get these holidays, and that's when everything will ramp up. They'll blame people like you and me being at Christmas dinner for spreading some variant that probably doesn't even exist. And we'll really start to see things ramp up as we get through the season, for sure.
I agree with you. That was my take, you know, where we have, you know, they run up the fear, they ratchet up because people are starting, things are wearing off. I mean, mm-hmm. even among the normies, you know, they just, I mean, you can see they, if they go to an area, like if they're in Branson, Missouri, or if they're in the Ozarks, or if they're in, you know, certain parts of Texas, they're going to take their mask off. Hey, I don't have to do this. But if you go into an area that has the type of, you know, Faucian politics, they made the Faucian bargain, they wear the mask, mm-hmm. they do all the rituals and everything else. And I think even the normies want to get away from it. I mean, even some of the people that have bought into it, like, oh, I like it here. I can take my stuff off, but I go back and I have to wear it, even though I support those politics. Again, this is, you know, you look at the concept of silent weapons for quiet wars, and you get mm-hmm. These new rollouts, which are simulations, also known as the shock test. And again, when I read the headlines, I know you're probably very similar. I don't think, oh, well, now I have to be really careful because there's a strain out there. I look at it and like, oh, what are they planning? You know, I know Klaus Schwab wants me to get in my pod and eat my bugs and, you know, be in the Google smart city and be locked down and, or maybe not even exist. But
it's so true, though, is as far as most people, whenever they see that on the news, whether they really believe in this or not, they get the sense of, oh, I need to be more careful. And I'm not saying that there's going to be a point where, you know, you need to assess your situation in the moment. There are some really evil people out there, and I don't doubt for a second that something very legitimate could sweep through very quickly. I don't think it'll necessarily be something to do with COVID, though. It would be easier. You know, we've brought up smallpox, and you talked about smallpox earlier. You can visually see that, and it's so much easier to outcast someone or throw them in a boxcar when you can visually see something on their body that is wrong. Whereas with COVID, I think this was just amping up to whatever comes next to get people comfortable with the control and the things that they are bringing in. But as far as most of the symptoms go, you're not really going to notice. Is there somebody that freaks out because someone else sneezed in the grocery aisle? I'm sure they freak out. They run. It's not a huge deal for me. I don't freak out whenever I see that this new strain is coming up because the TV told me this. I told you that over Thanksgiving, the very next day, my little sister tested positive for COVID. And she did. She looked terrible. I've talked to her. I've FaceTimed her. She does look terrible. So there is something going on over there. But my mom decided to give me the phone call of, hey, this is what happened. And she felt terrible. And, you know, the opening words were like, please don't freak out. Please. I'm like, just say it. And I got told the news and I'm like, okay, you know, it's okay. I'm just happy that I got together, whether it be flu, COVID, some other stomach bug. I don't care. I got to get together and see my family. So it wasn't a huge concern for me. And I don't think that anybody from my side of the family was too concerned with that. You know, it doesn't scare us.
Right. And in my family, it's very limited to who really buys into the propaganda. I know my grandmother, who's in her 80s, I mean, just never bought any of this stuff and has lost most of her friends, like not to death, but just to excluding her from being able to play any of their bridge and any of that stuff, that she can't go to functions, you know, and she just says, you know, I'm protected. You know, I gave my life up to Jesus. And if he calls me home, mm-hmm. That's where she is in her 80s. And she's like, I'm just not gonna live in fear. And that's a great model. You know, those people that were born in the 30s, those are hardy people. Mm-hmm. We have this new, you know, the propagandized generations really showing the gain of function of propaganda, right? This how much it worked. And that's the scary part. You know, I was talking to Don Jeffries about the lack of reason. But again, you can hold up these headlines and say, hey, the same people that got it wrong, dead wrong. You know, mm-hmm. same thing with climate change. You know, you go back to the 70s and it was global cooling. It was going to be an ice age. You had Leonard Nimoy saying how everybody is going to be a popsicle in 10 years because of you driving a Chevy. And then it turned to greenhouse gases and global warming. And then when all the global warming conferences got frozen out, you know, from the winter weather, they said, well, it's climate change.
Yes.
Which is brilliant. You know, it's everything's because the climate always changes. So then you can just blank stuff. I mean, that's brilliant. But that's really what this tracks back to, is just kind of this ever expanding relabeling of top-down control. I mean, I saw some article the other day that was from out of the World Economic Forum, I believe, and they're like, one of the best ways you can combat climate change is to get a vaccine. Like, no kidding. And like, this is like, you can do your
I mean, if they off enough people through the vaccine, I guess there's less carbon gases being used, huh?
Well, it's a net zero. I mean, they love zero a lot. Zero population growth. I mean, again, we're taking medical advice from people who want less people. At least I'm not, right? But the mass public and CNN and those who worship Fauci and the Nazi science over at the NIH, those people, they want to be led by people who want them not there. I mean, even, Ted Turner founded CNN. He said that 95% of the globe has got to go. We gave $1 billion to the UN. How many times we have to tell people this, but this is where we are. And it doesn't matter. I think really what we are in the alternative media now, and somebody like David Knight, we're your open source intel. This is where you get information. For those of us who are open, because again, you can present me with new information. I'm not going to start screaming and bleeding out my eyes and try to refute that. I will look into what you said, but that's not what we have in our mass public consciousness. It's there's a lot of bad energy out there. I know that you've encountered it. So,
oh yeah.
All right. So we've covered some of the vaccine. I wanted to get your take on them being dead wrong again. And I know where you stand on vaccination, but let's talk about some of the economic fallout of the last 2 years to flatten the curve. They didn't flatten the curve, but they flattened the middle class and small business. And I read an article earlier in the show about the Black Friday numbers. What do you think about that?
It kind of shook me up a little bit. I expected it myself to not be great because I know that people out there are struggling. I mean, how are you going to go and buy something for the kids or the grandkids or whomever after you've just dropped God knows how much money on a Thanksgiving dinner because you wanted that to be regular? You know, you just want to be able to get together and do those things. So that makes sense. Did you see the headlines and the advice that they gave people that couldn't afford a turkey this year as far as eating soy or something different? And this is coming from Fed members at that. I forgot which one. I know his face whenever I see it because he looks like a giant cow, and he is telling people to find, alternative foods and sources.
It's like
and
the cows from Chick-fil-A. He's like, eat more chicken. They don't eat me.
It just amazed me.
The same things. Yeah,
Insensitive. So insensitive as to what's going on here. And look, I'm not a left versus right kind of person, but at the end of the day, the left is getting exactly what they wanted. Everyone wants to be equal. You are in for an awakening here, if that's what you were calling for this equality that's going on. Because what this means at the end of the day is we are all going to be poor. And understand that maybe I don't think that anybody should be this way, but the neighbor or the person that you are jealous of because they are driving the nice car, they live in the big house, maybe they've made a lot of money in the stock market. At the end of the day, even in the stock market, even if we have this melt up, I don't think that people are safe, Tony. They are going to make us equal. And what that means is we will all be poor. That is what is being worked on here. So no one has the opportunity to get ahead of what's happening. And if you don't have things placed today or in place today, as far as like where you stand, where you might be investing, and that doesn't just mean in the markets, guys. To me, that means into yourself, what tools you might need. You are going to be left behind and times will get extremely, extremely hard. And that is the plan. It's the level playing field. The person that's got $3 million sitting in their bank account right now today, they're not going to be any better off than you are in the next couple of years. I really see that happening.
Right. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. You're talking about the leveling of all the middle class and the small business that was done in 2020. And, fast forward. And what I was saying at the first hour was, and I, most people don't know, like, you know, you co-host a show with me. We don't always agree on everything. To me, I don't think they can use their old tricks of quantitative easing.
You are so right. You are so right on that.
This, because I think we've reached peak QE where it doesn't, I don't think it's going to move the needle. I mean, they've look at how much cash or dollars, I guess, if you want, what currency, not money. Look how much they've pumped into the system over the last 2 years, unprecedented. Mm-hmm. And we still have these numbers. You still have the retreat in the stock. It's all propped up on lies. And it's not about production. It's not about profit. So I tell people, these are signposts to warn you about what's ahead.
It's becoming pretty concerning. I know you had talked about it earlier, but I do kind of want to go back over shopping in stores down 28% for Black Friday. Not a huge thing. I mean, online shopping continues to grow every single year. The big deal that I want to point out here is $8.9 billion in sales on Black Friday. So it's down from $9 billion last year, which made sense. Everybody was kind of forced to go and shop online for the most part. That kind of makes sense, but this still does not look good. As far as this goes, since we've been recording online retail sales and Black Friday sales, this is the first time in history that it has actually gone backwards. So it's not by a huge degree. We'll get Cyber Monday now, and we'll get to see as the holidays go on. But this does not look good. And I don't think that it's just because people are staggering out their purchases, Tony. We really can't afford to go out there and buy the things that we would normally buy around this time of year. And what's extra scary about this, because you and I know that they have messed with the numbers here a little bit. As far as retail goes, it's looked okay. It's been decent even before Black Friday. But what's making this happen is that inflation. People aren't going out and buying more. If anything, we're buying less, but the numbers stay around the same because of how jacked up costs are. And we're going to continue to see this play out. It's the same as the jobs reports. When they come out and, oh my gosh, look, we gained another 100,000 or so jobs. No, you didn't. It's like the meme that I showed you where the lady is working as a cashier at Walmart. She's Ubering at some point during the night and picking up some other third odd job. Because one person has three jobs in this market does not mean that this economy is doing okay. It really shows how hard people are suffering. And what kind of frustrates me is, and I see this, I get it, I'm a younger person. The older generation doesn't quite seem to understand the differences that are happening. I do believe that younger people have every right to be upset. I just don't fall into the same category that they do as far as how we fix it. I don't believe in UBI. I don't think I'll have a 401k. My Social Security is worthless, and I will never have a retirement. That's disappeared. That's not an option for us. But to have to work three or four odd jobs and still not be able to afford rent and food and keeping the lights on, we're turning into this third world country, and nobody wants to see that. The music is still playing and everybody wants to keep dancing. But at any moment, this stack of cards is going to come down. And I really, truly hope that people are ready for that sort of thing.
I mean, you can never really be truly ready.
No,
we've all got normalcy bias. You know, I mean, I lay my head on the pillow every night and think I should have done so much more today to get ready for what's to come, because it is a massive shift. You know, the Great Reset is coming. Now, how you adapt to it and how you resist it is going to be proportional to the level of knowledge that you have, right? Mm-hmm. Because there are ways, and these people are not God Almighty. They can't, you know, run the planet. It's not going to happen that way, as long as there's people that are willing to call them on their lies, you know, and their totalitarian motives. And I think you look at stupid numbers. This really are stupid. Like when Biden gets out in front of the American people or his press secretary and says, well, we've created so many new jobs. And I go, OK, well, I know that I'm not a part of the smart set. I'm not allowed to ask questions to the elite. You know, they walk between the raindrops, and you guys are so smart and you went to Ivy League schools. But can I ask a question? If hundreds of thousands of companies are laying off people and firing people for not getting the experimental injection, and then they place an ad for a job, are they a job creator? Mm-hmm. Because that's where a lot of these numbers are coming from.
Yeah.
They're coming from companies who let people go. And then they said, oh, we have an opening. Oh, hallelujah. The markets are doing great. So
let me add here, the opening is typically a temp worker. So temporary worker, it might've been the same person that was just fired and they can come back without the vaccine, but it does look good for the jobs report.
Right. Yeah. This is the numbers that they fudge and they tout this as just, it's interesting. You know, you have Biden releasing some of the strategic oil reserve, gas prices going up, but he also cancels leases on drilling on government land, the pipeline shut down. We were mm-hmm. at a point of energy independence and exporting oil. And now you have people being laid off. These companies can't get drilling licenses. They can't get anything out of the ground. So you have this this real problem. And it's like a perfect storm, in my opinion, where you have energy prices going up. But I don't know that the demand is pacing the energy price. I just think it's a fall in production and it's the cost of transportation. So inflation pushes the price of gasoline up, which I think is going to break the whole thing. That's what broke in 2008. I know that because I was running a high volume convenience store at the time. My family's been in the gasoline business since 1979. And I was running, you know, we were doing 300,000 gallons a month or close to it out of one location. And that's a lot of deliveries. But I noticed that every delivery would keep going up. And of course you get like $4 gasoline, you know, and the breaking point of people's budgets. And then when they choose to go somewhere and what they choose to consume, it broke it. And that was based off of rises in the need for energy. It was demand. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is so much demand as it is inflation. This seems like a super.
The demand is not there. This is the most banker propped up thing in the entire industry or in the entire stock market. The price does not reflect what's happening in the world. I do believe with you, I think it's more strictly inflation. And we've also seen people that literally can't afford to drive to their job and back anymore. So you just choose to stay home. I mean, you can't afford to even drive that 30 minutes to an hour to work every day. People are already being priced out as far as these sorts of things go. This is going to break us and into the winter time. I mean, we're getting here now, but we're not dead in the middle of it yet. I mean, I do expect prices to continue to go up. And the concerning part there is that is when everything really starts to fall apart. I mean, even as far as I know, people say that there's a lot of manipulation as far as false shortages and things like that. China has been dealing with, because they're trying to be so green, supposedly, their shops aren't being able to run 24/7 anymore. They are having limits as to how much they can work, and there's rolling blackouts that are happening. Now, I don't know if that's purposefully because of them trying to be green or if there could be something actually wrong with their grid, but I can tell you there is a little bit of manipulation in this shortage that you're seeing as far as a shortage of everything. People, please don't get mad at me whenever I say this. My partner's business and some other people that I know, we do get things in from China to sell. There are just certain things that you have to get from wholesalers over there. And there are four or five different wholesalers that we talk to regularly in China, and the supplies are not there. Very, very simple things too, Tony. We don't do anything with electronics. I don't mess with any of that. So the items are not there. Their factories aren't maintaining what they used to. And it's not purposeful. They're not even jacking up the prices. If anything, we're getting better prices just so that way they can keep things moving and keep the lights on in their factory. So this is kind of like a more personal, you know, description of things. And on top of that, you know, it might take some of the items that you have, whether it come in by boat or plane, you're still looking at weeks, if not months, for something to come in because everything has been so backed up. This is going to continue to keep snowballing, and we're going to have really big issues here in the future. So if there's something that you want or need, my bigger thing is needs right now, such as like a backup generator or something like that. your fiat dollars are worthless anyway. If you can afford to go and get it, just go and get it as soon as possible.
Agreed. I mean, I do what I can. I've been the last 2 years, you know, buying storable food and the rest. But, you know, when I stop now at the, if I'm filling up my tank, if I have extra money, I'm going to get some more water, or I'm going to get, you know, some propane. You know, I just like have a little extra store back, or some, I told my wife, I'm going to get her some coffee. Every time I go into the store, I get her, you know, I get another bag of coffee, just put it back in case there's a, you know, a real supply shortage that will come from the collapse of the dollar. And that's the real danger here. It's not so much the supply chain, but everything that the currency is a current. And when you have something stop, it just, the whole system starts to break down. It's a domino effect. You know, it'll ruin everything. And I think that's the danger here. Because you have people at the top that they have no interest in fixing this. You know, Biden releases the millions and millions of barrels from the strategic reserve. Supposedly, you know, I think Gas Buddy said it was going to bring prices down like 5 cents or something. It's not really going to have an impact. No. But he hires people that are full on communists, you know, to run like the comptroller and the transportation's, I think energy secretary too, of course, transportation too, with Pothole Pete, you know, he's got the infrastructure all ready to go, you know, but yeah, they're commies. And, I think they talked about, it was the energy secretary says, well, we really want to get oil production down, but we need to do something about gas prices. And I'm like, how do you hold these two thoughts in your head? You know,
And without having the infrastructure in place to put all of these green things that you want to add, we don't have the infrastructure in place to get those things to us. I would love to see you have the Tonka trucks that are the size of my house. I would love to see you be able to make those powered by some sort of alternative source while trying to mine out all of the lithium in the world to get your batteries up in place or whatever it might be for people. I would love to see that happen, but I got a good feeling we are a ways out from seeing anything like that, Tony. I mean, at the end of the day, we talked about this on one of our shows. People don't understand how they get energy to their homes. And typically, I would say that it probably is the people from the South that might understand this a little bit better, because we all know somebody that's worked in oil or natural gas. And we have an understanding of the supply chain and how it gets to our homes. It's not fairy dust. Your lights don't turn on just because you want them to. It takes a lot to get that power to you. And as far as putting on these green things in place, the government should probably stay out of that. If you want to, I don't call it a greener solution, it's just a more independent solution. I think that it's great if you want to add solar or wind or whatever renewable you want to have on your, I don't even want to call it renewable, that sounds terrible. Whatever you want to put on your home to be more independent, go for it, because we know we can't rely on these people. That's the whole reason I live off grid. My Nana thinks I'm a tree hugging hippie. That's probably the furthest thing from the truth. I just want to be independent. I can't tell you how many times I've seen the power go out in my tiny town, but here we are with lights, still cooking, still going.
I mean, I live off grid. I don't have, we have a tiny amount of solar, and I don't, we don't use a lot. We charge up our devices and things like that, but I'm fine with it. I mean, literally, yeah. I use, again, I cheat a little bit to have my little propane. My wife has, Melissa, she built a, you know, she installed her wood burning stove, and it is very efficient. And I mean, you have to open the windows sometimes, it's so hot, right? So you don't have to worry about the heat. It's kind of the, you know, in the Ozarks, what you have to worry about, and you have to do the same thing, cause we live in the same area, but, is cooling, you know? So, but really I can go without a lot of power. And I'm fine with that. I've gotten used to it. I have, of course, at my shop at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, I'm completely outfitted here. I've got like a gig worth of internet. I've got all the bells and whistles and the Wi-Fi and all that good stuff. But where I live, no, I've learned to go without. And I hope that'll come in handy.
You know, of course.
I think we're going to have a lot more challenges. And, you know, you and I have discussed many times, what are some of the things that are going on that aren't being talked about? Especially by the financial networks and the hairdos and the teleprompter readers. Let's discuss something that flew under the radar. You and I have covered on the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show. This is the record year for gold being ordered by central banks since 1944, yes, since Bretton Woods. Looking at this, I was going to make a prediction maybe tomorrow on our show, and we do the show on Aftermath for Wise Wolf. I really think that this is the perfect storm for gold. I think that because gold is a lifeboat. And I'm also, you know, I'm big on Bitcoin, and I'm not telling you to go order gold for me and you're going to be a million. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just talking macro level. Mm-hmm. If the markets, these numbers coming in on Black Friday, you got inflation, you've got the rise of gas prices, you got a Dollar Tree is now a $1.25 tree. Even the people that are slower to get to the realization that this market is rigged can start to see, I need to do something. I don't want to be in a 2008 situation holding the bag on these massive amounts of losses. I think this may be gold's moment.
I think you could be right. It'll just be a matter of when the bigger investors, the larger folks, I'd say probably the top 5% out there that are in markets and real estate and elsewhere. It's going to be about when they feel there is no safe place, because gold is your safe haven. And these people haven't quite, they're kind of still on their high on the kind of gains that they've gotten these past couple of years. And I'm not saying that that couldn't keep happening, but you also have to realize if we get into this melt up situation in the stock market, what I mean by that, guys, is the stock market doesn't collapse. It just reloads with more jet fuel and keeps taking off. We saw this in Venezuela, so this is not impossible. For those of you that don't know out there, when Venezuela was absolutely crashing, they had no power, riots in the street, nobody had any food, they had the top performing stock market in the world. I think it's still one of the top performers today, but their people are not doing okay. And those that were in the markets, they're doing just well enough to maintain. That's the only difference. So whenever some of these other top investors out there, the people with real big money, start to realize this, that it's not keeping up with the inflation that's happening around me, they will need to find a new safe haven. I do believe gold is probably the first place that they will go. That's tried and true. But we also don't know what's going to happen with the crypto markets. It's extremely connected to the stock market. I mean, there's no doubt about that anymore. But I don't know what's going to happen there. So it, to me, that's why it's good to be extremely diversified. I mean, deal with the home front first. Please, nobody yell at me. I do live off grid. Like, I'm 25 years old. I live off grid. I've got 20 plus acres, and I've got storable food and everything else. So, I mean, I'm good there. Okay, guys. So whenever I do have extra money, a tiny portion of it does go to stocks. Some of it goes to crypto, and probably the most of it does go to gold and silver, which has not quite been keeping up with inflation, but its day should come.
Agreed. And this is what I've been thinking again. This is David's show, and I don't even do this on my show. I'm not telling you to go out and buy gold. What I'm telling you is go research and mm-hmm. look into things for yourself. And, you know, look at what happens, what's happened in the past with, countries who've inflated their currency, like the Zimbabwe style. But yes, we've done this again. This is something we've done, some unprecedented things in the last couple of years. And not to say that we weren't doing them before and it was all leading to this, but this is, we're in a new era. It's a new, there's everything is this with the economic system is going to change. You know, there's, mm-hmm. you're in the great reset, whether you like it or not, right? They're resetting everything, going to a central bank digital currency. I think the key words would be creative destruction. I talk about that a lot, but you just don't want to be left holding the bag. So again, not telling you to go buy gold, but I think, you know, it was in 2020, Kinsey, they, Citigroup and some other major banks were predicting $3,000 an ounce gold within the next year. Okay, that was 2020 in the first quarter, maybe mm-hmm. second quarter. I was filling in for David back in August of 2020 when gold broke its all-time record. I had you on the show that day. Mm-hmm. That was when it went up to past 2000 in the $2,050 range. We've pulled back from there. even with the inflation, even with the economic numbers, because of the massive amount of QE. You know, they also had the new installed president. You know, there's always a new economic order that comes in. So there's been this this wave. But you see that the cracks in this. And I just want to warn people. I think this is what I'm seeing. I study it every day. I notice there's subtleties in what the elites do, from what they do to what they tell you. Like, don't watch what they say, watch what they do. And what they're doing is they're ordering gold. You know, and a lot of the elites too, they buy Bitcoin. I'm a fan of Bitcoin for what it can do for, being able to be a money transmitter and to be able to have universal digitized, currency for the people. I'm in on it. I own Bitcoin ATMs. I'm fine with it. I'm not telling you to invest in it, but I think there's something on the horizon. I wanted to get your take. And of course, silver's in this too. You know, silver's a major undervalued metal. You've got, it's used in industrial, it's an industrial metal that also is a precious metal. You know, it's used in the 2 kilograms of silver for each electric
right
car.
Now it can't even decide if it's industrial or retail, because retail is keeping up with what the industrial has been doing. And whenever you see that, that's when you notice how manipulated everything is. Everything is manipulated, guys. You're not gonna get away from that. Even your food, you know, for those of you that only stack up food, your food prices are manipulated too. The whole thing is rigged. It's just a matter of playing their game and trying to play it along with them. I'm not saying necessarily ride their coattails, but listen to what these people are saying. Food's not a bad thing to invest in right now. I guess if you were stacking food up 2 years ago, you're looking better today. If it came down to it,
well,
good
right.
investment.
It's a good investment. I mean, I think land's a good investment. I think food. I think the ability to produce something, like a generator, that's good too. I again. Anything but the fiat system. I just buying into that, I think, is a trap. They want to get you, you know, in a casino, 80% of the people have to lose so 20% can win. And that's what we are in our economic system, is a casino. You talk about the manipulation of silver, Kinsey. Most people don't know, because they don't see what I see, like my back office when I order products for people. The wait times on physical silver is unprecedented. I mean, right now I can go and say a generic round of silver from the trading floor in Dallas, and they don't deal with the public, just people like me, they're dealers. I can lock in a trade for the price, and it's going to be way more than the spot price because of premiums, because the physical real world is dealing with what silver actually is, and the stock market price and the spot price, it's tied to bullion contracts for stuff that I think is arguably doesn't exist. Okay.
It's not there.
I'm not there. Right. So I see these delays. And a lot of the times what you'll see now is it used to say 1, 2 weeks, 6 weeks. And now it just says unknown. So you can lock in a trade and you can pay for it. And that's a lot of my clients are waiting on their silver. And I'm like, just hold on. It always gets filled, but there's an unknown delay because they don't even know they can't project their volume. And a lot of stuff from the main mints, like an Austrian Philharmonic or a Australian Kangaroo or something like this, or even a Canadian Maple Leaf, they're 1 to 30 days out. So we got our 1 week to 6 weeks out. We've got a lot of delays, and I think that's the real world's kicking in the real economy, and that's what I'm seeing. And then the people in the teleprompter readers and CNBC and some of these others, they're totally missing all of the signposts and all the warning signs that were there in 2008, and then I'm seeing them again. These are, and it's not going to get better.
No, the times ahead, actually, I'm not going to say I like live in fear, but I am extremely concerned as to, you know, what comes next, what is the next chapter? Because, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, no one's 100% prepared for anything. And depending on what goes on with certain mandates or IDs that are required in this world, there's not going to be a whole lot that I can do. I work online. I have other skills, but my income comes from the internet. What happens when the day is said that, hey, if you don't have this vaccine or you're not up to date on your 56th booster, well, you can't connect to the internet. You know, these things could be coming, and we've really got to figure out who's on your side. You know, who can you trust when if things were to go down? Because we're not going to see this necessarily apocalyptic type collapse where the whole world just falls apart like everyone thinks that it will, because there's going to be people that will comply with this system and they will get to live on just fine for the most, as long as they listen, they get to keep going. It'll be those of us that don't want to fall in line with the script. We will be punished for that. And so you need to figure out who's going to be that person that you can rely on when these things come together. Times will get very tough. There's plenty of dystopic type movies and TV shows actually about this, where, you know, people like us would live somewhere else. And I don't typically read too far into that, but I also don't think that they're too far off.
Yeah, like you were mentioning earlier, not, you know, don't get your turkey, but get some soy. And I just immediately think Soylent Green, you know, the movie from the 70s. That's what I think about this dystopia. And that's, again, this is what we're combating. This is what we're talking. This is the way to arm yourself, is to be aware, right? That the system in, built into it is a flaw. Whenever we moved away from the gold standard, which we weren't even honoring that before 1971, because people that lived in that era know that one day they, you know, woke up and their coins, their silver coinage, what's silver, right? There's quarters, their half dollars, their dimes. They took the silver out. So we weren't even honoring that. But way through the 60s, you know, this is during guns and butter era and the Great Society of LBJ in Vietnam. And they started clipping. That's what empires do. This story, right, it's played out again and again and again through civilizations, where they start taking the metal out of their coinage. They expand their money supply. They reach a point where it's kind of a bifurcation point with currency. So we did that in the 70s. And now this is the end game. And then you may not like it, but this is where we are. I mean, the theme that I always get back onto, and you and I talk about, but I always harp on it. I mean, to understand the fiat currency system and to understand what they've done is to really understand most of our modern problems, whether you're talking about the massive surveillance state or military industrial complex, the corruption, the fact that they can't find trillions of dollars. You know, I mention Donald Rumsfeld all the time, ad nauseum. I know, but that's what he did. I mean, he said, I can't find it. 2.3 trillion before September 11th. This is the stuff that happens when you just have a printing press, and for lack of a better term, and that doesn't end well. Every country, every civilization that has ever gone fiat goes to zero for the currency.
Yes. Well, and they know this, and they've sustained it just long enough. So I think that things will keep chugging along until they are ready to introduce that digital currency, which is set. Everything is set up for this. The banks that you guys use today are already testing this. That started to happen and was allowed to be implemented during this whole scamdemic. That was rolled in at the same time that we started doing insane amounts of repos for the banking. Excuse me there. I kind of lost my words. This all started happening at the same time. And this currency, I think that we are going to see that extreme melt up whenever everything falls apart. And they realize, and the people realize, and they're begging for help from the government. This is what always ends up happening, is people beg the government to come in and help them. This is why you need to get in a position to be more independent. So you don't need to get on your knees and beg daddy government to give you a new digital currency, because it'll be stronger and make things easier for you. This is all going to be put in place. They know exactly what's happening. They're not confused about it. They're not just stupid. This is falling in line with the agenda that is coming. So things will continue to get worse. I just don't know how quickly they let this happen. And that's the next step. And you can guarantee that you will not be allowed to have this digital currency or bank without the vaccine. I can just about guarantee that.
Oh, they're all tied together.
Right? Everything.
We know this. And this it has nothing to do with health. It has has everything to do with control. And it has to do with track and trace and surveillance and putting you into the grid. You know, that's what this is all about, compliance being the key word there. So you're absolutely 100% correct. I always appreciate your insight and your research and what you do. And I tell people you can find Kinsey by going to Fringe Files. And of course, you're over on Odyssey now, and you broadcast some other platforms. I think you're on Twitter. I think it's Twitter Fringe _ Files, and then the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show, which is this is the little labor of love that Kinsey and I are doing with with podcasting. It's on anywhere podcasts are found. But once a week, we go on aftermath.fm, and she does a great deep dive research. I just go and harp against the and rail against the Luciferian banksters, and she sets me straight a lot of times, and she's got some great research. But I wanted to give you the last word, and I'm going to run a commercial and see if I can bring this show in for a landing today.
All righty. Well, guys, just thanks for having me on. Tony, I appreciate it. David, thank you. Yeah, you've already mentioned all of my socials, so you could go and find me there. I should be doing a live stream tonight or sometime soon. We'll see. But I just really appreciate being here, and thanks for letting me nerd out today, Tony.
Well, I hope it was fun.
Of course.
You and I never have a script, or we never know what we're going to do. It just always flows into something. And I'm like, hey, what did you think about it this way? And you go, yeah, but you didn't do the research, Tony. You're just coming at it from, your history brain's kicking in. You just want to blame the lizard people one more time. No, I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Kinsey. It's always great insight. Fringe Files, folks. You can find her over on YouTube. Go subscribe. Follow her on Twitter. And maybe we can get you back. Because I got the whole week. So maybe we'll have you back here.
Sure.
Maybe you can, if you think of something and you want to come on, let me know. We'll dive in. We'll geek out some more. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kinsey. All right, folks, hold on. I'm going to be right back. I'm going to run. Let's see if we can find, well, we got this commercial. It's still a good state. We'll do the Great Escape one. And this is the David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn filling in for David. We got just a little bit of time left. I want to fill you guys in on what's going to happen for the rest of the week. Maybe go over a couple of more articles, gold and silver prices, all that good stuff. So stick around.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via PayPal, or donate via Venmo, Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
All right. Thanks for sticking around. This is the David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn. I'm filling in for the great David Knight. I normally do a one-hour radio show called the Arterburn Radio Transmission. About 2 to 3 times a week on Worldwide Christian Radio, I have a podcast, and then I do a show called America Unplugged over with the great Don Jeffries and Billy Ray Valentine over on Rockfin. And, nothing like David. I mean, this is a different level. I appreciate your patience with me and hanging in when I'm working all the controls and trying to keep this produced as best as I can by myself. And there's just a lot that we're going to get into this week. And I wanted to, we're testing the waters, and, I had to sign into all these accounts. And I really just humbled that David and Travis trusted me to do this. And I'm going to give them some great content. And I don't want to do too much plugging on my business. That's not who I am. It's one of the reasons I think David keeps me around. Anytime that if somebody reaches out and they say, Tony, I want to talk about gold and silver, and I heard you on the David Knight Show, just an unspoken rule, a portion of that always goes back to David. I track everybody that buys from me through Wise Wolf, and if they say they found me, watch me on the David Knight Show, it always goes back to David. I want to stress to you the amount of information that you get from this man. And I'm going to say this all week because I contribute, you know, I'm a Subscribestar guy. I send David, you know, I send him contributions. Obviously, if I'll kind of add up through the month of, you know, how many people have called. But I had an email during the break there. I was checking to Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. They're asking, you know, how much my fees were. I just want to say, if you, and this is, they saw me today hosting the David Knight Show. So if you find me and you want to talk to me about gold and silver, or maybe converting your IRA into physical metals or your 401k, we do all that as well. And a portion of that always goes to David, a generous portion, by the way. I want to support the David Knight Show. And the easiest way too, besides going through me, or, you know, when I talk about my, and I just want to get this clear, because when I talk about my, my company, you know, it's not just a zero sum game. It goes to support the causes that I really care about, especially things like the David Knight Show. But, you know, you go to the davidknightshow.com, and this is really easy for those of you who are, you know, and take part in this. This is a great opportunity to really give back to somebody who's doing a massive amount of research. I'm telling you, like, even if I didn't have to run my shop, I still couldn't be David Knight. I'm not trying to be, because there's honestly, it's a lot of work. It's almost supernatural, the amount of stuff that he puts out. And I think about doing a 3-hour show. If I didn't have my two guests, you know, I have to thank Don Jeffries for coming on, and Kenzie, you know, his clock has changed. Another thing, if those of you stuck around and watched David through the last year, I mean, he's done so much more content because I used to fill in on his previous employer. I used to fill in over there and watch the clock, and there'd be a lot of commercials. Well, he doesn't run those anymore. So you're getting like twice as much talk time. And I've noticed that just on this, this 3-hour show. I'm like, oh, I'm used to doing my 1 hour. I get in, I get out, and you add that extra 2 hours of content. It is a big change. So, you know, go to the davidknightshow.com and you can see all the places that you can donate. I like Cash App. That's always a good way to do it. Bitcoin is a good way to send David and Travis some funds. But keep this engine going. This is something that needs to be done for all of us. This is the open source intel, and again, this is the resistance to the tyrannical, satanic New World Government, the one world totalitarian socialist setup that these psychopaths want to put us in. And this is the resistance. This is great to be a part of it. I'm absolutely honored. And we were talking, tomorrow I'm going to go, and I've got a new plan for tomorrow too, because I got some articles I didn't even get into today. But we'll go over some of what I talked about at the beginning of the show with the Bill Sardi article. That's almost like an hour long and a deep dive. But the other theme today was the economy, and looking at the signpost, being able to read what the mainstream is not hinting and not telling you. This is something that I will tell you, because I've seen this before. You know, I've seen the same people saying the same things right before an economic downturn, a collapse, the Great Recession. I think this will dwarf that. It'll make 2008 look tame. And the reason being is because the numbers and the stakes have been raised. It's far beyond what we saw in 2008. You know, I tracked, I'll give you an example. I was live on air about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and I tracked what gold had done from the year 2000, based off of pricing, to what it's done now. And you can track gold and its price simply by tracking the debt. Now, I know those things correlate. It's not a complete, it doesn't sync up completely, but it's really, really close. And I, you know, gold was $300 an ounce in 2000, and the debt was about $5 trillion. You take it to 2010 or so, and a gold jumps to over $600 or to $1,000 an ounce. Okay. So it doubled, it goes 600, then it doubles. Every time the debt doubled, gold doubled with it. And so, you know, it's 10 trillion in 2010, in 2000, and well, now it's reaching, you know, 30 trillion. So you just do the math and you get to about $1,900 an ounce based off the debt doubling and where the debt is relative to 5 trillion and gold at $300 an ounce. So we've watched that move up. It's not so much that gold's going up in value, it's that the currency is losing value. So on this long timeline, folks, this is what I want to warn you about. Your purchasing power evaporates by design, right? They know that what's going to happen. It's the concepts of velocity and the concepts of modern fiat currency is to kind of keep expanding the bubble, right? And you get poorer and the rich get richer. And I'm talking about the super elite rich. I mean, they don't even like, they eat their own kind. I mean, if somebody's coming up and they're not sharing the same kind of political views, they're not going to get to the billionaires club. They're not going to get to the next level. They get kicked down, right? They get, that's why billionaires and multinationals love income tax, right? They're not fighting the income tax. None of these big corporations that are rich are going to fight anything about taxation. They never do. I mean, it's silly to think, you know, you get these tax cuts that they really celebrate. They don't celebrate that. If they did, they'd be fighting for tax cuts all the way around, but they don't. They fund the very people that say they're going to run, that raise taxes. All right. This is the racket that is the taxation system, right? They fund the people that they know they're going to regulate. They know they're going to run taxes because the game is the elite are going after anybody that can ever compete with them. That includes you, right? That includes all of us. Anybody who would have an idea or a new way of doing things. That's why we live in a stagnant century where no advances have really been made. Right. After 2001, we've gone backwards. Right. We may have. Yeah. You have the technology to take pictures of your food and whatever. I mean, I saw the headline that Jack Dorsey is resigning from Twitter and their stock's up, like all these companies that don't make money. But we really haven't advanced. Right. They squelch that. They squelch the human spirit. This is the issue. Right. This is what, by design, the currency system is meant to enhance the rich. It's meant to enhance the few. And when they get enough capital, right, or cash, they don't hoard it. They're not like a dictator or a drug cartel kingpin. They don't have pallets full of $100 bills. They buy gold, or they buy assets, or they buy buildings, and they do everything they can, the rich, to avoid taxes by offshoring it, but mainly through another loophole, and that's through borrowing. Right. They live off debt. When Trump says I'm the king of debt. Right. When you're talking about that, he didn't pay the taxes. Like, again, he shouldn't have to pay taxes. That's the way the code is written. If you built a certain amount of buildings and you have losses, then you don't pay. You don't have capital gains. That's the way the system works. That's how they game it. Right. But most of the elites work off of debt. They're not concerned with the value of the dollar. See, you are. And that is the key to all this. And I want to talk about it more and more throughout the week, because honestly, every morning I wake up and I deal with more customers, I have more thoughts and revelations on just how deep this rabbit hole goes. Like, the more that you can understand about the currency system, the more you understand about our reality, right? And why that's so important. I'll get to the price of gold here in a second. You've got a massive amount of printing that's gone on, unprecedented. You have the inflation that they can't deny anymore. They called it transitory, and transitory permanence is what I said. So it's permanent. You have $1.25 trillion. You have gasoline going out of control because of the supply chain, because of transportation, because of all the other, you know, it's just like iPencil, right? There's so many intricate things that go into the making of a product or delivering of a service. And when you don't have sound money, it takes away, it eats at, it's an acid to the value of not only what you do, but the value of that product. And so eventually you just lose all equilibrium. And that's where we are. We're on the precipice of losing all equilibrium economically. All right. This is what I wanted to communicate with you and take the last, you know, 10 minutes or so. Let's go over gold and silver prices real quick. Now, if you go to wisewolf.gold, I installed this. Let's pull this up on the screen. Let's go to wisewolf.gold. So if you go to wisewolf.gold, you'll see two tickers. There's a ticker up at the top, and it tells you all about cryptocurrencies. What's going on, real prices in real time. I had that installed, and we're real proud of that. So you can see all your cryptocurrencies. Right now, Bitcoin's at 57,401 Luciferian Bankster notes per Bitcoin. And of course, you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin to own Bitcoin. You can own $5 worth, folks. There's 100 million Satoshis, or it's divisible by, in each Bitcoin. And it was meant to do that. But if you go to wisewolf.gold, and you go down to the middle of the page, you'll see the gold price. Okay. And right now, this is the real gold price, real silver price. Right now, gold's at 1,784 Luciferian Bankster notes per troy ounce, 1,784 fiat Federal Reserve notes per troy ounce. And I think, as Kinsey and I were discussing, you know, in the real world, gold is much more expensive. And this is the paper world. This is the global spot price world. This is where the central banks work with the bullion houses. There is a manipulation going on. It's sleight of hand, really. They don't want you to know about this. They don't want you to know that you can get off the roller coaster and hedge against inflation by buying precious metals. What do you think the people, when Kinsey was talking about the people of Venezuela, you know, when they lost so much under socialism and, of course, being a target of the military-industrial complex of the United States, their stock market's raging. They're having a great time. Happy days are here again. And then, you know, people are, you know, starving and there's no food on the shelves. And this is the duality that they have. But what they have now after that system is they just use tiny bits of gold and they've gotten really good at it. It'd be like if you were me and you could tell the difference between, you know, a fake piece of gold and a real piece. I've gotten good at this over the years, by the way. That's why if you ever buy from me, you're getting real gold, folks. I assure you that, because I had a customer come in Friday before close and he just opened his hand and it had a bunch of pieces of jewelry in it. And I said, oh, those are all fake. I didn't even have to feel them. I just can see them. And the designs on them, I said, oh, what are they? 18 karat? Yes. Okay. Well, those are fakes. I can tell it's pretty amazing what can happen if you work pretty much 7 days a week on something. Let's talk about silver too. This is another aspect of just how undervalued something is and something you should look into. Again, not investment advice. This is a disclaimer that you got to say these days because people will claim that, you know, you were telling them they're going to make... One of my replies is people are, how much money am I going to make if I buy silver? I'm like, I don't know. Silver is money. So again, that's the paradigm shift. Silver today, wow. I hadn't checked this since yesterday. $22.80 silver price. And that's with this dollar. Folks, silver in 1980 hit $50 an ounce after the Hunt family tried to corner the silver market. Now there's a lot of intrigue, weird things that went around that particular venture for the Hunt family. It didn't end well for them. But that's $50 in 1980, folks. That's like $200 today. It also hit $50 again in 2011, I believe. But today, with all the inflation, with the loss of purchasing power of the dollar, with silver being a massive industrial metal, and it's $22.81. It's an absolute bargain. But here's where I'll tell you where it gets weird. You look into it for yourself. You don't even have to call me. But you can look into retail silver, like an American Eagle, even with $22.18 or 81 cents per troy ounce. An American Eagle is going to be somewhere around 30 or more, maybe $31 an ounce, maybe 32. It could be 10, 11 bucks over. Because that's the difference between getting physical metal in your hand anymore and the price that we see. This is what I'm talking about. This is where you need to pay attention, because the numbers coming out of Wall Street and the powers that be, just like when I talked about having those same employers that fire you for not getting the Trump juice, for not getting the experimental gene therapy, the same people that fire you will put a job listing out. Now, does that make them a job creator? No, it doesn't, right? Anybody with a half a brain can see that a mile away, but you'll never see any of these useful idiots in the press corps calling these people out for this. So again, that's why we have the David Knight Show. That's why we can have these discussions. That's why you can tune in here. And look, I'll be doing my best this week to bring you some quality airtime while David's away and take care of his show. And you know, he shouldn't have to run best of. He's got somebody like me that'll step in and host a show. And I appreciate each and every one of you It's an absolute honor. And like I said, don't change that dial. Come back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Central Time to 11 a.m. Central Time here for the David Knight Show. I'm Tony Arterburn, and I'm going to close out this program. I've got the ending right here. I got the daily outro, folks. There we go. Be back tomorrow. All new guests, gold and silver prices, much, much more. End of transmission.